It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses. The end of the world is upon us, but it's okay, because we're in the bunker here in New York City. Up on the 40th floor, me and Mark Riley.
Hey!
I'm having some M&M's for breakfast. Is that okay? Does anyone have a problem with that? I'm eating M&M's for breakfast. Is there a problem? Okay, I didn't think so. Anyways.
I had the ones with peanuts.
We've got so many great guests today, Riley.
Yeah,
we do. I'm going to get the list right here. Because I know there's some people out there that actually listen to all 3 hours of our show. And I want you guys to have something to look forward to, because all the guests are going to happen today. I got a feeling.
Yeah.
All right? We've got Marilyn Juan, who is going to talk to us. She is at the cutting edge of fat activism. She's the author of the book Fat So, and a chairperson for the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Stop laughing. Stop it. There's no laughing. This is serious. We're being sensitive. I want to understand.
Okay.
I come from fat. All right. Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst and deputy director in the U.S. State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. He was supposed to be on yesterday, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
All right. Seth Kilborn, national field director with Human Rights Campaign, to talk about the anti-gay marriage amendment that passed in Missouri yesterday.
I'm disappointed in Missourians.
Well, you didn't get exactly what you expected?
70%. No, I got exactly what 70%. I got exactly what I expect. I'm still disappointed.
Anna Greenberg, Democratic pollster and vice president of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research, and she's going to break down the various post-Democratic convention polls and explain to us what all these numbers mean, because it seems like they're cooking the books, or there's too much information, or numbers don't mean anything, or you can pick whatever number you want, and we're going to flesh out some of that stuff. We started to talk about it yesterday.
Yeah.
We didn't get to it. And the thing that's been eating me for 24 hours, Riley,
uh-huh.
And this is ridiculous. Because I left yesterday, and we ended. In the last 5 minutes, I brought up this story about the tape of Kennedy.
Oh, the digitized version.
Right. Well, here's the deal. It's like I left. I read the story at 6 or whenever we read the stories, and I just riffed it at the end. Because the point I was trying to make was not about the Kennedy assassination tape. It was more about how they've got this new technology,
all
right, to read the sound on what I said was the Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said was to see if there were three bullets instead of where the last bullets came from, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I just ripped it. And the truth of the matter is, it's not the Zapruder film, all right? And it's four bullets, all right? And what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with a dictaphone belt, okay?
Huh?
It was like a 78 record. That it came off of, listen to this, the recording was made through an open microphone on a police motorcycle during Kennedy's motorcade into Dealey Plaza, all right, where he was shot. So this is this old canister, a dictaphone canister, like a 78
yeah.
recording. So it's a sound recording. The people that have possession of this sound recording are the same people that have the Zapruder film. But the deal was, is that I didn't realize this, is that in 1964, when they said Oswald was the lone gunman, that there was a new investigation 15 years later that concluded four shots were fired, not three, that they saw from the book depository, all right? So now they have this sound, and they're going to put it through a new analysis, which will take off layers of sound and try to isolate whether that fourth, you know, where and what that fourth gunshot was.
In other words, if the fourth shot came from the same place as the first three, which they probably already established.
Right, but it says right here, 15 years later, an investigation concluded four shots were fired, including three from the book depository and one from another location, giving rise to all manner of conspiracy theories. Now, I left really feeling bad that I misreported this from, you know, from a piece of paper that I had right in front of me that I chose not to read. But what really ate me was, you know, the Kennedy assassination is like a religion to some people, all right?
Yeah.
And I got, you know, and I just was never, I never had the discipline to do the homework necessary to get that involved in the conspiracy. I believe there was a conspiracy, of course, because that's the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I got one email calling me on this fact because someone had read it and didn't want us to misinform people or to, you know, put stuff out there that was half-baked. But he was, you know, he said, look, you know, you misreported this. So, but I kept thinking about this one guy out there going, how could he not know? I mean, we're talking four bullets here. I mean, how clear does this have to be? This is important stuff. And it is important stuff. But the point I was trying to make around this conspiracy was that given the state that we're in now with this secretive administration and the idea of secrecy, you know, causing conspiracies, like, it take 41 years, right? It's been 41 years you brought up yesterday. Just put that anywhere, Brendan. That's okay. Brendan just came in and put a truck onto the counter, if you're wondering what the...
one
of our producers...
It reverberated right through the microphone.
He came and set the $100,000 toy on on the desk here so I can make noises. Can we test it?
Sure. No.
No, not yet?
Not yet. It has to boot up.
So there you go. That's what's going on with that. But the thing I was
talking
about...
I thought you said four shots yesterday. I don't know why, but I thought you had said... Four versus three, not three versus something else.
Right, I think I did, but he was hung up on the fact that, you know, it wasn't
the
Zapruder
film.
You called
it the Zapruder film, yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to link it up to the Zapruder film, the sound, because
they have
the same
to, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it took 41 years for them to maybe find out whether or not this last bullet was fired from someplace else, which would not answer any big questions other than there was a second gunman, but, you know, who it was and where it came from and, you know, all that, the grassy knoll and all that. But this is 41 years later. How long is it going to take to get to the bottom of the conspiracy around 9/11, if there was a conspiracy, which clearly there was somewhat of a conspiracy. There are some loose ends.
2042?
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know, dude.
Look, I mean, you know, the thing about
Wait, let's try it out.
Okay, let's go. There we go.
Old school bullet.
When Kennedy was assassinated,
yeah,
there were a lot of conspiracy theories that centered around the ease with which, A, they got Lee Harvey Oswald, and how easy it was for Jack Ruby to walk up to the guy. Remember, the whole world saw the footage of Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald, something that would be inconceivable to people today.
Right.
A suspect like that would be way too heavily guarded. It would be impossible for a civilian with a gun to walk up to a guy and just shoot him in the gut, which is what Ruby did. And it was on, you know, it was on television.
Yeah.
The shocking thing, I think, for a lot of people, well, put it this way, the idea that all of this happened by coincidence or happenstance was at the root of the conspiracy theory in the first place. Very few people believe that Lee Harvey Oswald could have, given his ties, his wife was Russian, the whole, you know, there was a whole communist thing, cloud over this whole thing.
Right.
And then for him to be shot like that, everybody thought, well, they shot him to shut him up because that's where the conspiracy started.
But also, there were apparently, you know, we can't even begin to get into this, but, you know, how many people wanted Kennedy dead? You know, and then, you know, who was really involved?
Sam Giancana.
Right. The mafia, the military-industrial complex, the people that were, you know, screwed out of business opportunities in Cuba. There was a lot of people, this old boys network. I read, what's his name, James Ellroy? Is it James Ellroy? James Ellroy, The Cold 6000? Is that what? Which is, I'm not an Ellroy reader, you know, but people really dig him. He writes in a very weird way. But that thing was his sort of overview of the Kennedy
assassination.
Like, I read Don DeLillo's, I read Libra, which was a fictionalization of it, which was great, and I read this one by Ellroy, which is tough to read, but he was dealing with, like, he went way out there into into Vietnam, into the opium business, into the Mormons, into Howard Hughes,
God.
I mean, it was a mind-blowing sort of overview of a lot of the same information that's been kicking around.
Well, you know, a lot of those, the Mormons and the Las Vegas, they're all still out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's this, like, that's the one thing that I forget to realize sometimes, that there is this old boys network where, you know, that have been around for 40 years. I mean, when you think about some of the people that are still around, like George Bush was in Texas. And he was operative in the government when Kennedy was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it just keeps going on and on.
I mean, if you look at it that way, the conspiracy goes on because his son is the president of the United States.
Exactly. The conspiracy never ends, and that's what's great about conspiracies is they feel like thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of conspiracy, not so much, not yet, but a little bit of conspiracy.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
What's fascinating about what we're seeing take place this week is that a story that 6 months ago nobody would have thought would have had a day's worth of traction has suddenly gotten 3 days worth of traction. And we're talking about Tom Ridge and the intelligence on the financial centers and whether or not there was some politics behind it.
Well, let's work it out when we come back.
Absolutely.
We want to on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Planet Jack. Let it
check. CeCe's in danger.
The legislators that are proposing the legislation are opposed to the Endangered Species Act in general.
That's Gordon Oriens, professor of biology at the University of Washington in Seattle.
The motivation is not to improve the functioning of the act, but to make it more difficult, in fact, to list a species. Important information is being neglected in the establishment of endangered status.
The new regulations being proposed would downgrade the use of models.
In order to project the likelihood of extinction in the future, you must use models. There's no way that we can predict anything about the future without using models.
In 1973, the Endangered Species Act was established to ensure a biologically rich planet for our children.
Once you've lost species, it's impossible to bring them back.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that old spark plugs build up deposits, which can cause misfires and waste gas? So if it's been a while since you replaced your spark plugs, stop by Napa Auto Parts and stock up on Autolite Copper Core spark plugs for just 79 cents after a 30-cent mail-in rebate. This is the good stuff. With high gas prices, a fuel-efficient engine is more important than ever. So stop by Napa Auto Parts and get Autolite Copper Core spark plugs for 79 cents after rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
I was blown away at the ease and the simplicity of this product.
Wendy Light for the Doctor's Night Guard Dental Protector.
The fact that the instructions were so well written and that the night guard is so well made. Within 10 minutes, I had a night guard that fitted perfectly to my teeth. It was like a dream to me.
Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
Oh, yeah. You know what's great about being a grown-up here on Air America Radio on Morning's Edition on
Where?
Wednesday morning?
Where? Where's the grown-ups?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
Here's what's great about being a grown-up. I can eat M&M's for breakfast. No one's going to stop me. And I'm eating M&M's for breakfast.
You so, wanted to do that since you were a little kid, didn't you?
There's something about M&M's, man.
I know.
So let me do this because we're gonna talk about Ridge and what we were talking about before. It's time for Terror Watch.
Yeah, you know, he's starting to live up to the music, you know that.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Tom Ridge is definitely living up to the music.
He's kind of like, he's robotic and weird, and now, like, he gets, all of a sudden, he's, like, everywhere, right when his job is threatened. There's going to be a new intelligence star. Wait, no, I'm important. Look
yes.
at me talk.
Yes, threats. You know, Ridge says that this intelligence on the financial centers that were to be targeted is still good, even if it is 3 years old. He came to the Citigroup building, which is probably the safest place in New York, yesterday.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And he says that Al-Qaeda, despite the fact that this intelligence, some of it predates September 11th, despite the fact they have no fairly recent information that they've been continuing to do this kind of surveillance on these buildings.
What's screwed up about this is all this, you know, I wonder if they're not telling us that on this list was the World Trade Center, too.
Yeah.
Is the information that old? Was that just part of the same list?
Well, you know, it could well have been. But he's saying that Al-Qaeda was doing surveillance here in New York and in D.C. as recently as January. But what's most interesting about what we see going on this week, Mark,
yeah.
is that you know, Howard Dean came out over this past weekend and said, you know, there seems to be some politics in the way these terror threat alerts are coming out. Not just this latest one, but they've talked about a few of the previous ones. The problem for the Bush administration is apparently this story is starting to get legs. People are starting to ask, not just Howard Dean. John Kerry rejected the idea, but now Henry Waxman and others in Congress are starting to ask some of the same questions, which means that the story now has legs.
Absolutely. And the reason John Kerry rejected it was just political, is that he didn't want to get sucked into a petty battle that he doesn't have to fight right now if there are other people that are willing to bring it up. And the great quote is retired General Merrill A. McPeak, a Kerry supporter, who was an Air Force chief of staff during the first Persian Gulf War, said that he did not think the administration raised the terrorism alert for political reasons. However, he said, isn't it a sad fact that the question even arises, that we don't trust this administration to that point where they're suspect?
You know, there's at least three or four other people who said, well, no, I don't believe that it's political, but you have to ask yourself.
The timing?
Yeah.
Right, that they have a habit of doing this, like after, you know, after Edwards was put on the ticket, there was a terror threat. You know, there's other instances where, how about announcing the arrest of those Pakistanis the day of Kerry's speech?
Kerry's speech,
when it
yeah.
was 4 days after they had been arrested, and now this, you know, the threat right after the Democratic National Convention. It all leads to it being political, and what we were talking about yesterday about, you know, New York, about this setting the stage for the convention, this getting a jump on security, so New York will foot the bill, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Well, Tom Ridge, in New York yesterday, says that there is no political motivation in issuing terror threat alerts.
We don't do politics in the Department of Homeland Security.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Oh, no, that's right. He's not even a secretary.
No.
He's not even to the cabinet
What
level.
Is he? He's a special super
He's kind of like
guy.
The...
He's like...
Homeland boy.
We invented it.
Security man.
Yeah, what does he do?
I don't know. But see, he
said...
You
know what's weird? When you hear him talk, you can hear him hit the campaign talking points. Like, he's that bad of a speaker that he sort of, you know, he pounds the one thing. You can see which stuff is highlighted in his speech by the way he talks.
We don't play... But see, now, he says that they don't play politics, but what was he doing the other day when he said this?
I certainly realize that this is sobering news, not just about the intent of our enemies, but of their specific plans and a glimpse into their methods. But we must understand that the kind of information available to us today is the result of the president's leadership in the war against terror. The reports that have led to this alert are the result of offensive intelligence and military operations overseas, as well as strong partnerships with our allies around the world, such as Pakistan. Such operations and partnerships give us insight into the enemy, so we can better target our defensive measures here and away from home.
Isn't that lovely?
Strong partnerships.
Partnerships with our allies.
A coalition.
Especially Pakistan.
Let's do a little editing.
We must understand that the kind of information available to us today is the result of the president's leadership in the war against terror. We don't do politics in the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Secretary.
Ah, secretary. Yes, he is a secretary. Well, Mr. Secretary, your friends in New York, where you were just yesterday, are starting to scream like stuck pigs about the cost of these terror alerts.
Friends.
Republicans. Yeah, the Republican mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, says, where's the dough? Per capita, I believe Wyoming gets, four or five times the amount per capita that New York City gets, that New York State gets even.
Yeah.
It's
they don't even know what to do with the money.
No.
We know what to do with the money. If you're going to put this kind of stress on us, we'll spend it properly.
Well, let's talk about money. The Speaker of the New York City Council, a gentleman by the name of Gifford Miller, who, by the way, may run for mayor against the Republican incumbent, says that the city spends $1 billion a year to fight terrorism. That's one bill.
That's on the city's paycheck.
Yes.
That's on the city. That's what the city is paying.
Yes, that's what the city's paying out of pocket. Now, and this is where George W. Bush comes in. New York City has 4,000 fewer police officers than on September 11, 2001.
And like five or six fewer firehouses.
Houses, yeah. But 4,000 fewer cops. Think about this. We talked yesterday about the fact that a lot of police officers retired in the immediate wake of September 11th. Remember that there was a federal program that would have at least partially paid to replace many of those officers.
Right.
Guess who cut that federal program?
GW.
There you go.
Yep.
So we've got 4,000 fewer cops and George W. Bush to thank for it. And I must say, on my way in this morning, and Mark, I kind of pay attention to these things, not because I'm afraid of being profiled. You know,
yeah.
There were a lot more cops riding around in those cruisers and vans and whatevers this morning than I see on an average morning. I take the same route into Midtown every morning.
There's always some cats now when I come over the 59th Street Bridge. There's always an outpost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it, but they're stationed right there on the other side of the bridge pulling over trucks, and they've been doing that for weeks, though. It's been going on for months.
Yeah.
The weird thing is that, you know, they opened the Statue of Liberty yesterday.
Yes, they did.
I mean, it's sort of a conflicting message, or is it? Maybe they opened it, and it's sort of like, hey, over here!
Yeah, but, you know what? You can't
not
go
the in the big buildings. Over here!
You can't go in the Crown. That's the one thing you're not allowed to do with the Statue of Liberty. Of course, there's been some controversy about how how long the Statue of Liberty stayed closed, the kind of monies that were raised to try and get it done again. That's a whole nother, that's a local New York thing. But as far as the city of New York is concerned, they're not happy with the counterterrorism money they're getting. And I think even some Republicans in New York are starting to blame this Republican president.
As they should. Hillary's been blaming them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, look, you know, this isn't fair. You can't. I mean, we are where it happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the dry cleaner guy. Remember I told you
about
the guy who the dry cleaner? I asked him, it was a few months ago. He's in Queens. You know, he's a nice guy. But I said, so how's business? He goes, oh, no, you know, things have been bad, you know, since the whole 9/11 thing. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, New York was really hit hard. I'm like, yeah.
It's where
it happened.
Thanks for sharing.
But, you know, that's the truth. So the per capita thing is really unfair to this city, considering the pressure we're under just to maintain, you know, a basic sense of security around this stuff.
A basic sense of security, and the fact that New York City is the financial capital of the hemisphere.
Yeah.
All right. All of these financial companies are all here. And again, the World Trade Center, what was the World Trade Center if not a center of finance?
Yeah, and let's not get away from the point that, you know, we are assuming and assessing this as being extremely political.
Yeah.
This announcement is extremely political, given that the Republican National Convention is going to be here. So on a political level, this could just, as a caller said yesterday, this just could be them, you know, trying to get the jump on security and having New York foot the bill for it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the same thing like No Child Left Behind. I mean, I hate to pull a disparate thread here, but, you know, you pass a law, you set standards, you tell localities they have to set, you know, meet these standards, but you provide not a stinking dime to assist them in doing it, so they end up having to foot the bill. It is a constant theme of this administration throughout the past 4 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. And clearly it's political in the sense that it is just after the Democratic National Convention. Mm-hmm. It is distracting people from the Democrats' campaign message, so it's working as a political tool, and it's a dirty tool to drag people through it, exploiting their fear like that.
Absolutely. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, Missouri and gay marriage, and fighting for the obese here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President George W. Bush is facing more criticism over his proposed national intelligence czar. Attacks are not just coming from the Democrats. Members of the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission itself are up in arms over the president's proposal, charging that Bush is not going far enough. Members complained that Bush was far too vague about the new director's authority. With the Republican National Convention just around the corner in New York, there's word this morning that the FBI is currently monitoring suspected al-Qaeda operatives and members of two allied terror groups in New York City. Al-Qaeda-linked insurgents in Iraq are considering the release of Turkish hostages after their employers agreed not to make truck deliveries to U.S. forces in the country. And more school-aged children are taking courses at home because their parents are not pleased with school performance and the lack of religion in many of the nation's institutions. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's time to face the facts. You need a bigger paycheck. And the best way to do it is by getting your college degree from DeVry Institute of Technology. At DeVry, we make it easy. You can take classes at our location right here in New York City during the week or take advantage of our accelerated weekend program. Whatever works best for your schedule. So you can get a degree for a better tomorrow without having to change your life today. And the best part? A degree from DeVry can take your career just about anywhere. That's because employers, decision makers, they've heard of DeVry, and they like the idea of an institution that's been offering career-focused higher education for more than 70 years. Get a higher-paying job with a proven degree from DeVry Institute of Technology here in New York City. Call toll-free right now to see how easy it can be. Call 1-800-98-DeVry. Pick up the phone before you forget. That's 1-800-98-DeVry. 1-800-98-DEVRY.
You're still using Hershey's syrup to make chocolate milk?
Yeah, why?
Syrup's great on ice cream.
But when it comes to chocolate milk, we switch to rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
With Hershey's syrup, my kids only get chocolate. But with Ovaltine, they get a whole lot more. Great taste plus vitamins.
Yeah, but how does it really taste?
It's great. It's really chocolatey.
And rich chocolate Ovaltine's better for you than Hershey's syrup. Wow, now I can feel good about giving my kids chocolate milk.
More Ovaltine, please.
Air America's Majority Report. Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
And NASCAR dads are just going to... Ooh, I'm sorry. Bill Bennett just walked over your shoulder, and it was a really disturbing juxtaposition of good and evil.
That's how I felt when I saw Bill O'Reilly up front. I had the same knot in my stomach as when I did in high school. It was the same thing, like, oh, God, there's that guy.
Sounds like a crush.
No, I don't mean that. No, I would have said, oh, there's that guy. This was, oh, God, there's that guy.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Oh, it's about time.
Hey.
I don't even know what that means. It's just about time. I was just sitting here waiting for something to happen. And then Chris, our board op, pointed the magic finger at me, and bam, things started coming out of my mouth, and it was about time.
There you go.
There's Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition at Air America Radio. Thanks for being here. Welcome aboard to the blog, if you want, morningsedition.com.
Yes.
I'm only checking in periodically this morning. I have to pull back from the blog because I have a blog problem. As some of the bloggers know, I am somewhat of a blog bitch, and if I look at it too much, I will think that it's just me and the bloggers, and nobody else in the world matters, not you in your car, or you in the shower, or you, Mark Riley. It's just me
and the bloggers.
So, no, I'm not looking. I'm not letting you guys pull me around this morning. I'm going to check it at the top of the hour, see what's going on. I got a guy that I hired yesterday just to read the blog and come in and report to me when somebody I don't know calls me blog bitch. All right? So if any of you are out there misusing the nice term blog bitch in the wrong way, then that's it. All right? You're out.
And how long do you have to be on the blog before you can refer to you as blog bitch?
It's up to the bloggers.
Oh,
they know
okay.
Who they are. They're a community. They know how to manage. Okay, this in from Ramon, who is proudly wearing an Air America thong in the Oval Office. There's the president's schedule for today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford. Stupid campaign. Haven't I won yet? I hate Iowa. I hate Minnesota. Real people smell funny. 9 a.m. Leave for Iowa. Stupid Iowa. Stupid voters. 10:30 a.m. Arrive in Iowa. Stop whining. Activate Get Reelected Speech Generator Program 57-B. 11:20 a.m. Speak at rally, Davenport, Iowa. Stare at crowd and think about football while mouth speaks by itself.
6:45 p.m. Speak at Conservation Research Program, Le Sueur, Minnesota. Conservation? They told me it was conservative. Why am I here? Crap. 5 p.m. Speak at Rally, Southern Minnesota Construction Company Quarry, Mankato, Minnesota. Ask to meet Fred Flintstone. Ask if they really use dinosaurs to move boulders. 5:10 p.m. No Fred Flintstone? No dinosaurs? Screw Minnesota. 10 p.m. Arrive in Washington, D.C. Why am I in this place? Do these people vote? What am I, a puppet? 11 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline. Terrorist threat cancels debates.
You wish.
All right. Our next, our first guest of this morning has been referred to by the AP, Associated Press, as a militant member of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. Today is the 35th annual conference of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, Fat Acceptance in Newark, New Jersey. The goal is to empower overweight people and end weight-based discrimination. She's the author of the book Fat So. She's a board member and chairperson of the NAAF. A, please welcome Marilyn Wan to the show. Good morning, Marilyn. Hello?
Marilyn? Good morning. Uh-oh.
Wow, what happened?
I don't know. She heard the Palm Pilot and hung up the phone. Wrong station.
I don't understand. Where's Marilyn? We're all ready to go.
Hi, Marilyn?
They're getting her back on the phone.
Oh, they're getting her back. Okay.
So apparently what is going on with this, this NAAFA conference is that there's a coalition of fat people. They call themselves fat.
Not obese, not overweight,
no,
fat.
Because those are, you know, those are missed. They're trying to demystify or destigmatize,
okay,
fatness.
Okay.
On the terms of, you know, it's okay to be fat. You know, fat is just part of being human. There's no reason to, you know, judge us harshly. It is not a disease.
Okay.
And they are against the title obesity. And they're all here, right over there in Newark.
In Newark.
Do we have her?
Yeah.
We do. Marilyn, are you there?
Let's see.
Hello, Marilyn?
Hi.
Hi, Marilyn.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
We lost you for a second.
Hard.
We lost you for a second there. Yeah. Are you over in Newark?
No, she's in Leonia.
Oh.
She's in the town next door to the one I live in.
Really?
I live in Englewood, yeah. One town over.
It's a great place.
So let's talk about obesity.
The O word, hey, I'm fat.
Okay, all right, so you're fat. And why do you have a problem with the word obesity?
Well, it makes it sound like I have some kind of diagnosis just because my body characteristic of fatness exists.
Okay. But America is obsessed with weight. And I'm trying to figure out that clearly obesity is designated by the Medical Association, right?
I've heard of the Medical Association.
Okay. But wait,
educate me.
You know, I have my own food issues. I come from fatness, and I was brought up to be incredibly ashamed of fat.
I'm sorry.
I know, but I'm also aware that being overweight in being extremely
overweight. It's another O word.
Oh, wow.
But wait, is it
overweight? Over what weight?
Over the weight where it's healthy to be.
So everybody's supposed to be the same height, too?
No, but clearly there's some medical problems with being, you know, fat, really fat. How about really fat?
You know, I've spent like 10 years looking at the medical data, and what I found is that the number on the scale is a really, really inaccurate way to predict how healthy a person is or how long they're going to be or how sassy they are.
Well, obviously, SAS is not the...
If you look at the medical data, it doesn't support our social stigma. And so I think what really happens is that doctors have the same negative attitudes that everybody else does in this society, but because they wear a white lab coat, they feel like they can rubber stamp prejudice, which they've done historically to women and to people of color and, you know, everybody else.
Well, Marilyn, let's say that we take your argument and agree with it. What do you say?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right. What do you say to people who look at, for example, children who eat a diet of predominantly fast food, and the next thing you know, these kids who ordinarily, absent the fast food, would perhaps have a little less weight on their bodies and be a little bit more healthy, but yet they eat all this fast food and they end up being fat? I mean, is there a problem? Do you see a problem with saying to kids, maybe you don't need to eat as much so you don't get as big?
Well, let me put it really clearly. I'm a fat rights activist. I'm not a food rights activist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not out there lobbying for donuts and ice cream and pizza. I'm out there lobbying for what I do, which is to eat 3 squares a day and get my veggies and exercise regularly and enjoy that stuff because it's good for me, not because it's going to turn me into Jennifer Aniston. I am 5'4 and 270 pounds, and I look like my beautiful, fat, 80-year-old mother who still mows the lawn. So I think there's a nature-nurture argument, and we can go around and around about why people are fat, but I think the big fact is that people are going to always come in different sizes, and whatever size your body is, you can be your healthiest self by eating well and exercising, including kids. So I think the thin kids who are at home living on, you know, pizza and junk and video games are doing themselves a disservice, and the medical literature shows that those bad habits are worse for them than the number on the scales ever.
Let me ask you a weird question, right? And then we're going to find out what exactly you guys are like striving for over there. Is that, do you ever get that, you know, like I'm not fat, but I have an inner fat person because my mother was fat when she was a kid, and then when she
you've met a few fat people in your life.
Well, no, I think I am fat constantly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. But what I'm asking, do you have any moment of resentment when you see people that can just eat and eat and eat and never get any weight at all?
No.
Oh, come on.
There's a little hesitation over there, Marilyn.
It's the fact that I'm a fat person. I have come out as a fat person, and I think it's pretty cool the fact that...
Well, did that surprise anybody?
Huh?
How do you come out as a fat person?
You know, you can come to an event we're doing on Friday called Out Bodies, Out Selves.
All right, can we talk about it after the break?
Fat people.
Okay, can we talk about it in the event after the break? We got to take a quick commercial.
That's totally cool.
Okay, all right, Marilyn, great. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking a Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first step the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda, here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Ah, the peak of allergy season, ragweed.
Yeah, pollen, the best time to make them suffer.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines.
Ah.
Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects alone may include headache, cold, or backache.
Allegra takes the joy out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take once daily long-lasting Allegra. The relief goes on.
We're back, Air America Radio, Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron, Mark Riley. We're talking to Marilyn Juan, who's a militant member of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. So tell us about the events over there in Newark.
So we're having a thing called Out Bodies, Out Selves in a park, actually, in Manhattan. We're going to leave our little Newark convention. We're going to dance the Hokey Pokey, which is a classic body liberation song. And we're going to yay ourselves on these little scales that instead of numbers, they read compliments. So everybody's going to find out what they yay, and then they're going to come out as somebody, as their own body, which I think everybody's like, oh, no, this isn't really me. I'm waiting to be thinner or whiter or richer, and I find that a very sad way for people to live.
So this is,
instead,
this,
I think we should rebel and be happy.
Right. So this empowerment is about transcending what you see as culturally induced shame on people who are fat.
Well, it's not just the internal shame. It's also the fact that when fatter people try to go and get a job or health insurance, were denied. And so it's about standing up for yourself publicly and also, you know, silencing those internal voices that say you're not worthy unless the number on the scale reads some ridiculous number.
But why do you think then, like, in terms of you know, even, you know, not just America, but in terms of a lot of different places, that, you know, so many people want to lose weight, so many people believe that it's healthier to lose weight because there is some indication that, you know, there are a lot of illnesses associated with fatness. I'm not going to use the O word.
Thank you.
And
I think we need to keep in mind that the association is not a causation. And when you, there's actually a great deal of debate in the medical community right now. There are people who say, hey, you can be healthy at every size. The important thing is not BMI, body mass index. The important thing is behavior around food and exercise. And there's a lot of, there's this huge study that shows that fat people who exercise live longer than thin people who sit on the couch.
So, but you're talking, there is a parameter to even what you're saying is you know, acceptable fatness. I understand.
I kind of don't go there with you because I think the process of drawing a line and saying, okay, you fatties on one side and you thin people on the other side, this side's good, that side's bad, we've done that before with skin color, with religion, with sexuality, with women and men.
But what about,
and
just,
I think that drawing that line does nobody any good.
Well, what about the line between, like, you know, fat people here and really, really fat people over there?
I just don't draw that line because a lot of my friends are really, really fat people, and I want for them the same things that I want for thin people. I want them to enjoy their veggies, get appropriate exercise, have social support, have a job, have a life, and be their own healthiest person. You know, I can't magically wave a wand and make everybody look the same or be the same.
No, no, obviously. And certainly I'm not trying to argue those facts. And certainly, you know, I believe that everybody has that right. But I also believe that on some level, you know, around, you know, fat acceptance, there has to be also the acceptance that, like, I might be a little too fat.
Well, I usually just look at behavior because weight loss as a goal is just an unlikely outcome and a rather dangerous undertaking because, as we all know, about 9 out of 10 people, 98% sometimes, of people who lose weight on diets gain it back. The process of yo-yo dieting is very bad for your health. It actually shortens your life. Taking diet pills is an incredibly dangerous, unproven thing, and having your stomach amputated certainly isn't good for any healthy human being. You know, you're kind of using that organ. So I think that the best thing that I can ethically recommend to people is to enjoy their veggies and exercise because that's not going to hurt anyone. It's going to do a lot of good. And if someone loses weight, I'm not against it, but I don't think that's
you don't think it should be your
an appropriate
reason to
goal
live
for health. I
right,
think
right.
It's really informed by what we see in the media and what we see in the mall.
But what about just the sort of, like, maybe it's just me, but, like, you know, if I feel a little bit, you know, of fat on me, I get really kind of, or I'm uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable? Well,
yeah.
It's uncomfortable to be treated as a pariah. And, you know, I recommend, you know, again, the exercise. I weigh 270 pounds and I feel great.
Okay.
I do yoga, I do aerobics, I go walking, I go out dancing. And I have this wonderful swim that I go to with my fat sisters all the time. So I think that how we feel is very socially informed. And our notion of health is actually rather dangerous these days.
But don't you know, like,
all
when
about conformity.
When you guys go, you're going to go to the park, what if people sort of, like, you know, start giggling and come gathering around? Does that bother you?
Well, there are going to be hundreds of us, and, you know, some of us will be larger than the giggler. We will be all doing the hokey pokey together. I think that's part of the fun for me is rebelling against that that teenage boy snickering on the corner.
Well, you know, I'm excited for
it's
you.
Just, it's total fun. I say bring it on.
Well, Marilyn, listen, you're only going to be a couple of blocks from our studio, so that teenage boy may be Marc Maron.
No!
I can't wait to meet Marc Maron.
Oh, no, I have nothing. I just, like, I got my own weird craziness around it, and I'm happy you guys are out there doing it. So thanks for talking to us, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Take care, Marilyn.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Take it easy. I'm like, I get so weird around that stuff.
You know, they're right down the block. Where they're doing this is on 2nd Avenue and 35th Street.
You don't understand. I had a mother that when she saw someone who was overweight or fat, or, you know, really fat, she would grab my hand and go, oh, my God, look at that. All right, we'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
Take a Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone. We guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they were the first center to teach this state-of-the-art technology. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
This is a theme song for the Republican National Convention.
Uh-oh.
I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. If you'd like to check in with the screaming demonic id of the liberal mind, go to morningsedition.com and jump into the blog. Go ahead. You know, you can stick your feet in first, see how the water is, but go on in. Don't think I'm reading it because I'm not. I just got a report from my guy I hired to read the blog. Yeah, I'm kidding. It was Larson. Larson's back, by the way. Our producer is back from his 3-day stint being chosen for a jury. Two days. He was gone 2 days. It felt like three. It felt so good that, I mean, it was bad that he was gone. It felt.
Yeah, right. You'll clean that up next hour.
Yeah, but apparently he's going to be gone next week because he's got a case.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to deliberate. I don't know. It's very complicated.
He doesn't have to be sequestered.
Oh.
He doesn't have to go into witness protection or anything.
What does he mean? He just kind of has to say what? How does that work?
Well, yeah. I don't even know if he's, like, on the main jury. He may be one of those two alternate type jurors.
Oh, he's an alternate. Yeah.
So that means if somebody, you know, like, gets sick or their dog dies or their car runs out of gas, then he gets to sit in.
So who would have known this, Mark, with a preamble?
Uh-oh.
To their state constitution that reads, "We the people of Missouri, we the people of Missouri, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe and grateful for his goodness, do establish this constitution for the better government of the state. The supreme ruler of the universe, He-Man." Oh man,
sounds like the grand high exalted.
So
Mr.
they did
Kruen.
It. They approved the gay marriage ban. And they're amending the state constitution.
Well, I guess that means my trip to St. Louis will be postponed for a while.
Were you planning on marrying a man?
No, I just don't want to go any place where they are quite that backward, to be honest
with
you.
Far be it from Missouri to be backward. I'm saying there's probably a few progressives there.
Oh, there are progressives there. I mean, 30% of the people voted against this constitutional amendment. I think it's ridiculous for somebody to put in their constitution because they're scared that a court may overturn the legislation that they have, because they've already got legislation that defines marriages between a man and a woman. What they're scared of is that a court will say, well, no, that's unconstitutional. You have to sanction gay marriage. So now they put it in the Constitution, and that supposedly builds a firewall between them and the courts.
Right, but this also makes the issue a state issue.
Yes.
This is going to, hopefully they won't amend the country's constitution, and that maybe state for state will make choices, and we'll find out about how that works for people who are gay and want to get married. Can they leave the state and come back to the state and still be accepted as married and all that kind of stuff? But it has become a state's issue.
Yeah, it's become a state's issue, and it ultimately, if people really want to stop this sort of thing, the way they have to do it is by getting rid of legislators that put these kinds of things either on referenda or people who support the constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. I think it's ridiculous.
We're going to talk to Seth Kilburn later, the National Field Director of the Human Rights Campaign,
yes,
to talk about this, the anti-gay marriage movement. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. One, draft legislation making it possible for children to sue each other. Finally. Two, if microbes exist on Mars, defend a microbe's right to choose. Three, scrutinize 9/11 report, make sure all references to terrorists are gender neutral. Four, interrupt high school talent show. Stand up and say, quote, "I hope you're enjoying this. In the time you spent watching Tammy lip sync to She Bangs, 500 children just died in the Sudan. Have a nice day." End quote. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, "One of Cheney's eyeballs fell out the other day, and there was nothing but a glowing red dot in the socket. But you won't hear about that from the mainstream media." End quote. We'll see you in the next hour.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, a new Bush ad campaign, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, former CIA case officer Larry Johnson, and the much-anticipated War on Brains, right here on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that over 1 million of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL upright is built in the good old USA. I'm proud of my American workers and my built-to-last American quality. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my Oric XL.
Charts and graphs, love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
Pie charts, flow charts, bar graphs too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2.
That rhymes.
Thanks to the doldrum-fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send.
Facts, facts. Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Halliburton Company and other U.S. contractors are getting paid to the tune of $1.9 billion in Iraqi funds. The payment arrangement was worked out by officials of the Coalition Provisional Authority. According to a review of documents, the money was originally slated to be approved by Congress, but the decision was made to defray the cost with Iraqi funds because they were governed with fewer restrictions and less rigorous oversight. Officials of the CPA have been unable to provide detailed information on the Iraqi money from oil sales and other sources that it spent on reconstruction contracts. At the same time, the CPA never released information about specific contracts and the identities of companies that won them. There's more Halliburton news this morning. This concerns a legal issue at a time when Vice President Dick Cheney ran the distinguished company. Halliburton yesterday agreed to cough up $7.5 million to settle charges that it failed to disclose a 1998 accounting change. It happened at a time when Cheney was running the company, but the Security and Exchange Commission did not charge Cheney in the case, but it brought charges against the Texas-based oil services company, along with its chief financial officer and controller. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry shifted his attention from matters of security to one of special corporate favors on the campaign stump yesterday. Kerry took a swipe at Vice President Cheney, vowing not to dole out special favors to corporations if elected president. Kerry says his vice president would never meet privately with polluters seeking to rewrite environmental laws. The statement was in reference to Cheney's get-together with industry officials while drafting proposals for new energy laws. The Democrats have been seeking more information about the meetings and have argued that Cheney gave the green light to loosen clean air and water rules at the behest of those corporations. Oil prices are on the rise worldwide, jumping above $44 a barrel in the United States. A combination of global supply concerns and terrorism fears made for jittery trading conditions at a time for strong demand. Market analysts are saying that traders are investing largely on psychological factors. The president of the energy consulting firm Cameron Hanover out of Connecticut says, "We've got a market that's reacting ahead of time, it seems, to every single bullish scenario." Peter Butel added that oil and refined product futures are climbing in spite of increasing output, which traditionally would lower prices. And prosecutors at the military hearing for Army Private Lindy England described her as an out-of-control soldier who was photographed mocking Iraqi prisoners just for fun. England has maintained that all of her actions were the result of orders from her superiors. Witnesses testified that those prisoners who were abused allegedly by England were of little to no value to interrogators in Iraq. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that over a million of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL upright is built in the good old USA. I'm proud of my American workers and my built-to-last American quality. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my Orrick XL.
Charts and graphs, love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
Pie charts, flow charts, bar graphs, too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2.
That rhymes.
Thanks to the doldrum-fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send.
Facts, facts.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
Ow.
to get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Welcome to What's On My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D-battery.
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get on foreign vacations. Imodium works often in windows.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
He'd be jittered.
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AD. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
Randy Rhodes.
It's the Democratic Party that's fighting to make college more affordable for middle-class families like mine. The Democrats are the party that fights to provide seniors with Medicare prescription drug coverage. It's the Democratic Party that's fighting to keep our air and water clean. It's the Democratic Party that wants to make sure when our veterans get home that they have housing and benefits and a GI Bill. So the villagers have pitchforks and torches, and they are headed for Dracula's castle.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
That's right, that's right. Good morning, geniuses. It's Wednesday. I feel all right. I feel unusually okay for a Wednesday, Riley.
I do, too.
You do?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right.
Monday was great. Tuesday, I felt like I hit a wall, and today, I'm like, I'm up and I'm at it.
Tuesday was the obstacle course part of our week.
I don't know what happened there.
We missed a whole bunch of guests. We had to do a bunch of things that we hadn't originally intended to do. But we did them.
It was exciting.
Much like our boy Kalo over here. You know, he has these little obstacles that happen every now and then. But this man is a total professional.
Kalo's
he gets us on come hell or high water.
Kalo's our, Chris is our engineer,
board
That's right. operator. He's the guy driving the ship. We wouldn't be able to put this thing on the ground if it weren't for Chris.
That's right. Not even in gear.
That's right. So I guess another reason why my day started off good, I had the Russian guy who drove me in today in the car. There's this guy, he's from Russia, and usually all he says, I can't do a Russian accent, but all he usually says is, good morning. You know, he kind of weird nasally kind of, good morning, you know, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And we don't really talk much, you know. But when I'm walking out of my apartment, and he's blasting music. And this is a guy that does not turn the radio on. Am I right, Chris?
Yeah.
There's never anything going on in the car, right? So I walk out, he's blasting music, and I'm like, wow, what could he be listening to? So I get in the car, and I'm like, what were you listening to, buddy? He goes, no, it was nothing. It was, you know, it was the some music I grew up with, old music, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really? This is great. He goes, old tape, you know. And so he had to, I go, play it, put it on. So he puts on this music, and it's like Russian Hall & Oates.
Really?
Yeah, it's like from the 80s. It's like synthesizer, but it's like kind of new wavy, but it's Russian.
Yeah, go for that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, really wild stuff, right? But I'm getting into it, and I realize that he's probably sitting in the front seat thinking like, you know, wow, I wonder what he thinks of this. It's like this song was like, this is the song that I first had sex to when I was, you know, in St. Petersburg when I was 14, you know. Like he had all these memories invested in this music, so I knew that I was in this world with him, that it was his world. And he was wondering what I was thinking about it. So, of course, I said, wow, this sucks. I can't understand. No, I'm kidding.
At which point, he almost drove off the bridge.
No, I'm kidding. No, it was kind of cool. And I listened to all of it, and I asked him, you know, what it was, and he just said... He said he came to this country, you know, 10 years ago. He had like 400 cassettes, and he threw away like 200 of them because now he says like if he listens to it and he has no emotional reaction to it, like if it doesn't represent a memory of a part of his life, that you know he'll just throw it away. But this was like a really old tape, and it was kind of weird, and it just opened up this whole other world where, like, I've known this guy. I don't know him, but occasionally he drives me in the morning because he works at a car service. But I've known him for like 3 or 4 months. Never had a conversation with the guy.
Music does that though, man. That's
yeah, but it was like. like he popped right open, you know, and he's talking to me about Russia, and he's talking to me about, like, and I was like, you know, where are the good Russian restaurants? We talked about, like, why. Apparently, here was the conversation I had with him. It was like, I said, do you ever get any of it on CD? And he goes, yeah, you know, because there's Russian music plays. I'm like, where? He's like, Brighton Beach, of course.
And, by the way, folks, for those of you who don't know that reference, Brighton Beach is a section of Brooklyn where they shot a zillion Russian mobster movies, and it's the epicenter of Russian culture in New York.
But it's wild. I mean, I'm not being negative about it. I haven't been down there in a long time, and I love going down there because really is like being in Russia, you know, and the bakeries, Russian bakeries, are amazing.
Yes.
So he tells me, though, but he says he can get them, you know, for like $5 or $6 here, for the same ones that are sold in St. Petersburg for like $10, but they don't have the cover art and the foldouts and everything else. And I said, why, is it pirated? He goes, no, he found out, he has another Russian friend of his, that the record companies in Russia will actually make two versions. You know, really? They'll make it one with the cover art and the booklet for people that can afford them, and then they'll make like the $5 version for people in Siberia. He said that. He said people in Siberia can live like a month on $10. I'm like, still? Really? Siberia is really like Siberia?
Well, 90% of them are incarcerated.
I guess so.
I guess.
But that was the whole thing. And then tomorrow he's going to tell me some good Russian restaurants, because I just saw, I was watching the Food Channel, because I like the Food Channel. I'm a food guy. Have you watched that show with that guy, the renegade cook? You know, the badass, you know, the dude that, like, you know, he's like a rebel and he goes all around the world, you know, challenging himself, you know, on a food level. But I saw the one in Russia, you know, and I come from Russia and I naturally have this, you know, attraction to beets and plain food. So, like, now I'm all geared up for this dude to give me the Russian restaurant name so I can go check it out and have an excuse to go to Brighton Beach one Saturday and go down there and do the Russian thing.
Kalo, you see what music and cabs will do for you?
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, this is not new. I one time got in a car with a Dominican cab driver. I was going from the Bronx over to Washington Heights or something.
Yeah.
And the guy had this merengue record by a guy I knew named Johnny Ventura.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, he barely speaks English. He knows I'm African-American. So he turns the music down when I get in the cab. And I said, wait a minute, isn't that Johnny Ventura? The guy almost drove the car off the road.
They couldn't hear.
You know Johnny Ventura? I said, yeah, man, but turn it up. And we had a great conversation for the rest. So cabbies and music are a very special thing. I know we got a lot of New York City cab drivers who listen to us live on WLIB.
I love walking into a cab because you walk into someone's whole world. It's like if someone came into our studio right now. The guy lives in this car, basically. This is his place. Yeah. And like I was sort of like, when he said it was Russian music, I was hoping to be more traditional. And I'm like, you know, and I hear this sort of like, you know, kind of a new wavy big sound mix. And I'm listening to the guitar solos and I'm thinking to myself, oh, look what America did to you guys. You know, why couldn't it have been the Beatles? You know what I mean? But I listened to it. I enjoyed it, and it was
cool.
It was compelling. But I like it when it's the sort of Middle Eastern stuff or Egyptian music. Like, you know, I love.
Well, you
that
can get
stuff,
that man. On a Jay-Z record now.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, man, he's got all of it. He did a thing with
it's a whole different rhythm, man.
With Pakistani rapper.
Oh man,
it's some deep stuff. Speaking of shifting gears,
why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
No, this really is
Russian
shifting gears.
Music. Why did they die again? And why is it?
George Bush is shifting gears. Not just your cabbie. All right, George W. has a new ad campaign, and instead of ragging on John Kerry, he's focusing on guess who? Himself.
The narcissism finally comes out. This self-centered, unrecovered alcoholic is finally going to celebrate him.
Well, you know, he's little by little rolling out his vision for the next 4 years, although don't expect to hear it on the spot that we're about to play. He has no vision on this one.
You know where your mistake is, though? You're putting a time cap on it. Because in the next, if he wins again, he's going to declare himself emperor for life. So it's not 4 years.
We got to go through the Haitian Duvalier.
He's going to put a top hat on and everything. Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Well, listen, he's using, by the way, a controversial image from September 11th, which angered a lot of families when he first did it in some of his earlier advertising. But enough talk for me. Here is the latest sell job from the Bush campaign.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The last few years have tested America in many ways. But together, we're rising to the challenge. Standing up against terrorism and working to grow our economy. What gives us optimism and hope?
Oh, my God.
Faith, families, and sacrifice.
Oh, my God.
President Bush, moving America forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, they rolled that rascal out yesterday.
What is that?
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Mm-hmm. Dude, what is that commercial? He's got no vision for nothing. He's got nothing. All he's got is fear to go on. Are we going to talk about it when we come back? We don't have enough time to go into
it. Yeah, we'll go into it.
Let's tear it apart on the other side of this break here on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be...
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run!
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. freecreditreport.com.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first step the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's gonna get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner.
That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
Yep. That ad we're gonna talk about in a second. I just want to do my what day is today? Wednesday, right?
Wednesday.
I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley. If you don't know us,
hi.
Nice to meet you. It's Air America Radio. This is Morning Sedition. Blog it up. Get the blog on.
MorningSedition.com.
There
yo.
There you go. Apparently, there's a lot going on. I've had to detach myself from the blog because I have a demonic codependent relationship with the blog. So here we go. It's Wednesday, so tomorrow I go to the therapist. Oh no, do I? He's going out of town, man.
Ooh.
Oh man.
You got to do it today, then?
No. I don't got to go to therapy today, but I think I just remember he's going out of town. But that's neither here nor there. Here's a dream diary. So in my dream, I oversleep one morning, all right? I get up at 6, and I don't get here until like 7:30. My T-shirt's on backwards, and I haven't had my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I smell, and every other word out of my mouth is or, and I say, geez, I'm really sorry, in alarm. A cute blonde in a navy blazer and a sensible shoe steps up and says, that's all right, Mr. Marin. You still have a few minutes to freshen up before you go on. Come right this way, please. One problem. Never seen her before in my life. We stop at a door with a brass plaque that says Marin on it. She smiles this huge, scary smile at me and says, here we are. If you need anything, my name is Paige. Have a great show. I walk into this enormous room with plush velvet sofas and a table loaded with gourmet coffee and croissants and an omelet bar.
Ooh.
And on the gigantic oak desk is a super fast new computer with a huge flat screen, and there's a bathroom with a sunken tub and all the toiletries, and apparently it's all mine, Riley. How weird is that? So I walk into the studio, which is huge and perfect and smells like money, and I say, Jonathan, what the hell's going on here? I got my own an omelet bar. The smooth young executive in a navy blazer and sensible shoes says to me, good morning, Mr. Marin. Great to see you. Who's Jonathan? Jonathan, my producer. Where's Mark Riley? Air America Radio, Morning Sedition. The guy shows me this huge, perfect teeth. He shows me his huge, perfect teeth and laughs. Oh, Mark, you're hilarious. Everyone knows Halliburton bought Air America months ago, and we fired everyone except you, our wacky morning guy. Pay you twice as much as you used to make, and you're a smash hit coast to coast. Here's your script. Now get him, champ. I step up to the mic. 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm on. Good morning. This is Mark the Shark Marin with Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up, right here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, destroying today to build a better tomorrow. Well, President Bush has done it again, and by done it again, I mean made us safer and richer and closer to Jesus. We've invaded Iran. What's the matter, liberals? Scared of a little blood? Boo-hoo. Why don't you give Bill Hillary, do something about it. Get it? Bill, Hillary, Billary, they're one person. Yeah. Whoa, it's 72 and partly cloudy in Tehran. Perfect weather for killing Muslims. Who's with me? USA, USA, USA. I woke up and my bed was filled with keys to the executive dining room.
Ooh.
Wow.
So I was fired, huh?
Oh, that's all you got out of that?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
That's exactly what I got out of it.
But, you know, after the show this morning, it'll be like, what do you think that means, Maren? Was that really your dream?
Yeah, was that your dream, man? Or you've been talking to somebody.
Exactly right. So, getting back to that ad meant nothing.
That was a dream, too.
No kidding, man. Fluff, he's got nothing. All this president has to go on, really. And we're going to talk about our guest, you know, to our guest about it.
Yeah.
All he really has is fear. And like, I suppose he's patting himself on the back. The one thing I can say about that ad is, though, they're going by the Democrats' agenda. Apparently, the criticism of the pettiness of the Bush advertisements and the fact that he's really the one who's been going negative has somehow planted a seed in his dumb mind, or the people that who operate him's mind, and they're trying to put out this fluffy ad like that he actually has a vision for the future. Well, because, Mark, he can't go on his record.
No, he can't go on his record, but here's what he's trying to do. We'll make this real quick. This is a $14 million buy. It's aimed at the run-up to the Republican National Convention at the end of the month. The ad buy includes Olympic coverage. So people are going to be seeing this warm, fuzzy stuff in the middle of the Olympic Games, another warm, fuzzy event that a lot of people like to watch. And it is aimed, and this is where I think he's made a bit of a mistake, it's aimed at reaching young men. That's not a young men's ad.
No, I don't know whose it is. It's like a robot's ad. Who gets off on that ad? I mean, the truth of the matter is all he has is fear to go on. And I read this article by a dude named Anthony Wayne. And it's called All Bush Has to Sell Is Fear Itself. It's a good piece. Maybe we'll put the link up on the blog. But, you know, basically, he has no record. He has no record but a bad record. And I'm going to go over that record, you know, in a little while after we talk to our guest right now. Listen to me. Our guest is a former CIA analyst from 1985 to 1989. He also served as deputy director in the U.S. State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. He helped investigate the terrorist bombing of Pan Am Flight 103. He is Larry Johnson. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys.
So let me ask you something, Larry. Sorry we missed you yesterday morning, by the way.
Not a problem.
So Tom Ridge at the Citicorp building, you know, they up the terrorist alert. They up, you know, they got everyone freaking out. This is at least three-year-old intelligence. Two questions. Is there any possibility that this was the same batch of intelligence that would have led to the World Trade Center bombing? And is there a reason to raise the terrorist alert on this information?
Let me start with the last one.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a reason to raise the alert with this information. We need to understand these are targeting packages.
What does that mean, targeting package? What is a targeting package?
It's a blueprint for how you would carry. It's a blueprint setting the target.
Okay.
You want to identify where the vulnerabilities are.
Okay.
And we don't even know if they identified vulnerabilities. That's point number one.
Right.
Remember the guy from Ohio that went out to surveil the Brooklyn Bridge?
Right.
And decided, whoops, too hard, we can't attack
them. You mean the tourist who was just taking pictures of the support structures and
correct.
The bridge?
Yeah. So, in fact, for them to suggest that this is threat information, I think is an overstatement based upon what they've as they described it. Yeah, it's specific. It's got pictures of the building, and they describe, you know, the guard force and how you get in and out of the building and how you get access to it. It could be used for an attack, that's true, but they didn't have any information. It's like having a blueprint for your dream house.
Sure.
You want to build the house, but you haven't bought the land, you don't have the loan, you don't
right.
have a contractor, and you haven't hired anybody to do the work.
And also on some level, I mean, of course these are the targets.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and there could be other targets as well. So the thing that bothers me is, that if you've got that information, this is like getting a peek at somebody's cards when they're playing poker.
Right.
So, you know, if you can't figure out how to raise the bet and win the hand on that, you don't know how to play poker. And in this case, what we should have done was set up some counter-surveillance teams as well as technical means for, you know, finding out if, in fact, anybody was actually there preparing to attack those buildings.
What does a counter-surveillance team do, Larry?
They will spot people who are acting suspiciously or people who are involved with preparing for an attack.
Now, in the other part of my question, is there any chance that this was part of the same package, as you say, information package or a target package that included the World Trade Center?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think these guys that were doing this with Al-Qaeda, let's recognize, they were a little bit anal on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were out doing a pretty thorough job of compiling information. It was like the wish list, things you'd like to do, but just because you'd like to do it doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it. I mean, I'd like to win the Powerball, but hey,
yeah,
chances of that are real slim.
Yeah, there's no way to plan for that, really.
Larry Johnson, we've seen Tom Ridge have to publicly deny that there is any political motivation behind the terror threat alert. Does that surprise you at all that accusation seems to have legs?
You know you're in trouble when John Daly's making fun of you on The Daily Show.
John Stewart, yeah.
You know, when you become a joke, you know, when Stewart said the other night that the Ridge is going to leave government and go home and scare his family, that should be a sign that, you know, things are not going well.
Okay.
Look, I think Tom Ridge is a nice guy, but he doesn't appear to be the brightest light bulb.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Interesting point. Larry, I want to switch gears real quickly and talk about the new czar that was recommended out of the September 11th commission. Did, in your opinion, do you think the president watered the duties and the responsibilities of that potential intelligence czar at the behest of Donald Rumsfeld?
Hey, let me lay out the facts, and then everybody else can make their own decision, you know. I report, you decide.
Mm-hmm.
The commission called for cabinet authority, hire and fire authority, and budget control. President Bush proposes no cabinet authority, no hire fire, and no budget control, and says, hey, I'm going along with the commission.
Right, so he basically is just saying he'll print business cards up for this guy, and that's
hey,
it.
Yeah, and, you know, the last thing we need is some useless bureaucrat in Washington. You can swing a dead cat and hit three or four.
Yeah, but isn't it? Couldn't he be a patsy? Couldn't he be just a blame puppet? I mean, they're running out of Clinton appointees to blame for things.
No, he couldn't even be a blame puppet. I mean, this guy would be the ultimate vision of frustration.
Right.
Wouldn't mm-hmm. have anything to do.
But what about the Rumsfeld part of this? Rumsfeld now controls 80% of the intelligence money that's spent by the government. Does he have it? He said it would be a disservice to name a person like this.
Well, you know it. And here's the rub. This guy, unless he has authority over the Department of Defense intelligence units, as well as Homeland Security, as well as FBI, to coordinate them, you're up against these behemoths, and it's impossible to get effective control. And I think, it would be the ultimate neutered slot.
All right, Larry Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Take care, Larry.
Okay, you take care. That was Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst from 1985 to 1989. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270. We might even have a tip on the line, I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, again, 866-303-2270. Plus, coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the War on Brains, and more here at Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a $1 off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a $1 off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life, they're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty. A natural part of life.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Senior government officials yesterday said that the new intelligence pointing to a current threat of a terrorist attack on financial targets was a major factor in the decision over the weekend to raise the terrorism alert level. The officials say the separate stream of intelligence just happened to reach the White House only late last week and was purportedly part of a flow forcing government officials to act urgently. Members of the 9/11 Commission have slammed President Bush for his proposal to appoint a national intelligence czar with virtually no powers. Commission members say the president did not go far enough. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says Bush should place the matter before Congress and act on it now. Violence in Iraq has claimed the lives of four more Marines. U.S. troops and seven members of the Iraqi security forces were killed late Monday and Tuesday in continuing violence across the country. And legendary White House journalist Helen Thomas told an annual summer social in Falls Church, Virginia, that President Bush's attack in Iraq was a sorry chapter in our history.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first step the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the long life doodad, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that can keep your smoke alarms working longer. Just climbing up to replace those things isn't exactly fun.
Join Radio Shack when you ask for
those long life doodads.
We'll show you our lithium 9-volt smoke alarm battery. And you'll get peace of mind knowing it'll last up to 10 years. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
I'll take a long life doodad over a short life doodad every time.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Wednesday on the Al Franken Show, Mike Mills from REM tells us how he's using music to bring down the Bush administration. It's a crazy idea, but so crazy it just might work. Plus, the founder of Sweet Jesus, I Hate Bill O'Reilly.com, Joseph Mitten, will answer the question, don't you have anything better to do?
What's the matter? You don't want to talk to us? 866-303-2270.
That's right. Call or else.
866-303-2270. This call's here, and we're going to take them in a minute.
Yeah.
But getting back to that ad, you know, getting back to the fact that all this president has to campaign on is fear and BS, all right, because he's got no record. Think of it. Think of it. I mean, after all, I mean, what is his record, really? Ignoring the American people, not funding education, gutting the environment, blowing up two third world countries, torturing men and women and children and thinking international law does not apply to us, alienating our former allies, circumventing the Constitution, tax cuts for his rich friends, a crippled economy, net loss of jobs for the first time since Hoover, billions upon billions of dollars in crony capitalism, the outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame for political revenge, which is a treasonous act, lies about weapons of mass destruction, lies about Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, lies about almost everything, and all we get is what, a terror chart? I want to send out a thanks to Anthony Wayne. Go read his article. All Bush has to sell is fear itself. Where is that, Jonathan? Will you tell me in my head? Do you know where his article is? All right, we're going to get that from Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman,
New Jersey.
And we'll put it on the blog for you. And let's hey, why don't you lay it on me, Mark Riley? What exactly did Dick Cheney do in Congress?
Dick Cheney, well, I guess I can't really say this, but he really didn't do a whole heck of a lot. Let's just put it that way.
He did nothing?
Now, we should set this up by saying it's been Cheney who has called Kerry's record undistinguished. Not just liberal, but undistinguished. Now, he's been in 20 years in the Senate, George Bush and Dick Cheney talking about 20 lost years. Dick Cheney was in Congress for 11 years. Let's go and look at the record. In the 96th Congress, he sponsored 4 bills. None became law. 97th Congress, 4 bills sponsored. None became law. 98th Congress, 8 sponsored. None became law. He hit pay dirt in 99. 7 bills sponsored. 1 became law. H.R. 1246, a bill to establish a federally declared floodway for the Colorado River below the Davis Dam. The 100th Congress, he's on a roll. 7 sponsored. 1 became law. H.R. 712. Now get this. You know you've arrived when you sponsor a bill that specifically provides relief for one person. This bill was for the relief of Lawrence K. Lunt. I don't know what he had, the scabies. I don't know what his problem was, but it was for the relief of Lawrence Lunt. So in the 101st Congress, 1 bill sponsored, none became law.
So you're saying he didn't do Dick Cheney?
He did that, exactly. 11 years, 2 bills passed.
All right. That's that doesn't surprise me.
No.
He's too busy making friends that'll soon overtake the world.
Alex
in Manhattan, how are you?
Hey, Alex.
Hello. I got a website and I got onto Al Qaeda.
Oh.
There's a plot to pollute Boston Harbor. It's old. It goes back to 1700s, but I think they're going to dump Earl Grey tea into the bay.
Not Lipton, Earl Grey.
Oh, my God. We got to call somebody. Thanks for the tip, Alex. I appreciate it.
Boy, we got people listening to Terror Watch, that's for sure.
Jim in Long Island, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I finally got through. Mark, I might need some help with my Sprint bill. I've been on hold so long.
I'll see what I can do. I got no real connections there.
But, no, I got a question.
Yeah.
3-year-old intelligence. Is this something that we've found since that, through all these things, or did we have this? Because, remember the August 6th?
Right,
memo,
the BDB. Osama's going to, yep.
The thing is that there they said there was no specifics. Well, attacking specific buildings is pretty specific, and could have this been put together? I know your last guest said no, but was this information, is this new information that we've gotten recently, or is that even in the public record yet?
Well, I talked to one of our producers about this today. It seems that they're positing is that this was just found in this computer by this dude that they found in Pakistan. That even though the information is old, they're claiming that it was updated in January. I don't know what that means. They didn't give any details about that.
But Ridge did say that they were doing the surveillance as late as January. See, they see how they try and make that match?
Yeah, but I don't even know what that means. See, we didn't ask Larry Johnson about this. Is this like... this kind of information is available to almost anybody, and you would think that now, given tribal loyalties and family dynamics, that any moderate Muslim, you don't have to be an Islamic extremist or a member of Al Qaeda to get information about the structural elements of buildings or about how many people go in and out of buildings. I mean, certainly, of course, that could have been updated, but it could have been updated by anybody.
Well, yeah, and as I think you pointed out, most of it's a matter of public record. You can find out most of this stuff.
So I guess the answer to your question is I think he was trying to insinuate is this information, did they have it before? And I think what Larry Johnson said, it's like anyone can have this information at any given point in time. It's almost meaningless.
And if somebody had it in one agency, does that mean anyone else in any other agency knew about it? Because we know that both before and after September 11th, these intelligence agencies haven't been coordinating their information that well. That's why they want to have an intelligence czar.
Exactly. From the big state of Florida, Stuart, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Stuart.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
All right, how you feel?
One other thing about the illustrious congressional career of that viper, Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And that is, there was a vote in Congress about many years ago. The cops wanted to get the armor-piercing bullets.
The cop-killer bullets, yeah.
Right. Dick Cheney was one of only 21 congressmen that voted against the bill.
I wonder what
passed overwhelmingly. This schmuck voted against it.
Yeah, I wonder what the...
I wonder what his logic
was. Yeah, that's what I was saying. What was the reasoning? Hey, Stuart, how's the campaign going down there?
The NRA.
Yeah, how's the campaign going on down there?
It's going pretty good, but I will say people here are crapping in their pants about these voting machines. I go to the ATM and I get a receipt, but when I go to vote, ixnay ouye.
Yeah, you're on your own.
You got Congressman Brown down there, right?
Corrine Brown, yeah, she's in Jacksonville.
There's a witch in here. I forget her name, but she makes Catherine Harris look honorable.
Oh, really?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The woman's name is Hood, I think.
Hood, as in hoodlum. but the GOP, the gangsters on parade down here, and the Bush crime family, they're going, the Jetster going crazy. You know, they had the whole thing here with, they finally had to throw out that felon list and so on and so forth. Amazing. You know, 95% blacks, only a 1 or 2% Hispanics, which, of course, all vote stupidly for Bush.
Yeah, he's fighting tooth and nail to make sure that he can rig this election, old Jeb, isn't he?
Let me say this to you. This is like old Sparky.
The Florida electric chair.
That's the Florida electric chair. I mean, it's on shaky ground. I think that Kerry's going to have to win by 5 million votes in Florida to win.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. They got it that fixed. Huh? Well, thanks a lot, Stuart.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's up to you, Stuart. He works, I believe it's the same guy who works for the Kerry campaign.
Yes, he's doing
out there mobilizing votes. So let's get those 5 million. We'll be right back with... Seth Kilborn after this on Air America Radio.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020, or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
The folks from off zipped me into this tent filled with 10,000 hungry mosquitoes and biting flies, but they're not biting me. That's because I've got the proven DEET protection of Off Deep Woods. Off Deep Woods is like a shield against hungry, biting mosquitoes, including those that may carry West Nile virus. For the worst bug situations, you want the best protection you can get. And you just can't beat the DEET in Off Deep Woods.
S.E. Johnson, a family company.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell, because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
Bayer Advance presents today's lawn care tip. Are insects causing problems with your lawn this season? If you notice dying grass that lifts up easily, the problem may be white grubs. If you see arcs or circles of dead brown grass, you may have an infestation of armyworms. Thinning, torn up, and dried out grass could be caused by mole crickets. It's important to find the problem and treat it before it's too late. This lawn care tip was brought to you by Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer for Soil and Turf. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. For more information, visit BayerAdvanced.com.
The European crane fly can devastate your lawn or be no problem at all. The choice is yours. Introducing the revolutionary Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer for Soil and Turf. Only Complete combines the power of two unique chemistries to kill insects above and below the ground, including European crane fly larvae, for up to 3 months. Finally, one product truly does it all, and nothing works better. Guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
In a moment, Seth Kilborn to talk about the amendment to the Missouri State Constitution against gay marriage, 70% margin. Since the handover of power, by the way, it's Mark Maron here, and that's Mark Riley there. This is the next edition. Welcome. It's nice to meet you.
How are you?
Nice to see you. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 37. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, yes, good morning. Oh, hello, all of you. Oh, you too. You may have read a news story today saying that $1.9 billion of your money is getting to Halliburton and other American contractors, and that you had no say in it whatsoever. Yeah, go ahead. Get it out of your system. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let it out. Now, you may be angry about this, but this is how it is. You have what we're calling a probationary democracy, which means we get to decide how your money is spent, and we get to decide who spends it. I know what you're thinking, rip-off, right? Okay, okay, yeah. But hang on. Out of that $1.9 billion, as much as $50,000 or $60,000 will find its way into your economy. Sweet! Your deli guys and your shoe shiners and your strippers are going to make out like bandits on this thing. This is called trickle-down economics, and what you have to remember is the water has to hit a lot of rocks before it rains on you. You get it? But it will rain, my friends. All right, don't think of it as a few greedy Americans looting your treasury to buy big houses in Dallas. Think of it as your new best friends looting your treasury to buy big houses in Dallas. Okay, okay, I understand. Okay, it may take a while, all right, but rest assured, that money will find its way back here, unless it's in a Cayman Islands account, in which case it won't. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 37 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. All right, before we bring our guests on, I just want to read the preamble to the Missouri Constitution. We the people of Missouri, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe and grateful for his goodness, to establish this Constitution for the better government of the state. There you go. You can take it out. He-Man, ruler of the universe. So now we're going to talk to Seth Kilborn, who is the National Field Director with the Human Rights Campaign, to flesh this out for us and see what the implications are of this vote. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So if Missouri already had a law that doesn't recognize gay marriage, why do they need to amend the Constitution?
Well, that's a very good question. It's clear to us, I think, that these amendments in Missouri and the other amendment votes that we'll see across the country, I think are driven much more by politics than they are by the underlying issue of marriage for same-sex couples. I think it's these are attempts to turn out a certain group of voters and to distract from the real issues that are the important ones in this election.
So it's to mobilize the narrow-minded and the haters.
Well, I think it's to mobilize the conservative evangelical vote, and I think that
we're just sort of
in Missouri.
Okay. All right. So why do you think state governments have decided to ban gay marriage?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I mean, why do the state governments ban it?
Well, I think that why are state governments banning this? I think that the American public is uncomfortable with the notion of marriage for same-sex couples, and I think clearly we have a lot of work to do to educate the American public about why relationship recognition for same-sex couples is so important, and why it's important that families led by gay and lesbian couples have the same kind of security and rights and responsibilities as other families do. And I think that we're seeing, you know, a political reaction that, as I said, I think is driven as much by politics as it is by anything else. You know, over time, though, I think that we will succeed in doing that education, and ultimately, as I think this country always does, you know, come back to fairness and equality for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Seth Kilbourn, what does the passage of these kinds of constitutional amendments on a state level mean as far as states recognizing the laws of other states? Obviously, in most instances in this country, the state of Connecticut would recognize the laws of the state of Missouri and vice versa. But is there a chance that this is being done in terms of constitutional amendments so they don't, so, for example, a state like Missouri doesn't have to recognize a marriage, a same-sex marriage from another state?
Well, I don't think that states need to amend their constitutions to do that. It's already legal under federal law for states not to recognize the marriages performed in another state, and Missouri already has a legislatively passed law to do just that. So,
has it been challenged yet?
No, it has not, and you know, I there's no reason to think though that that federal law wouldn't be upheld. The full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, which is what people often cite as the mechanism to challenge these laws, has actually never been used to related to marriage laws, and so there's no reason to think necessarily that the federal law wouldn't be upheld. And so this whole effort that's going on legislatively and with these constitutional amendments at the state level is further unnecessary because of that.
So how did the vote come out? Was it exactly what you expected, or did you find any sort of, did you find any success at all?
Well, we'll have to look at look at a little more carefully at the results and see what we can learn from the demographics or anything else that we can glean from who voted which way. You know, we're obviously very disappointed in a loss and, you know, feel that discrimination doesn't belong in any constitution, and
absolutely,
that's what really this is all about.
But at least there was 30% there, which on some level it is Missouri, so that was uplifting a little bit.
Well, we are expecting a little bit better, I think, but you know, we'll learn from this and figure out how to do better in some of these other states.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Seth. I really appreciate you coming.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That was Seth Kilbourn, National Field Director with Human Rights Campaign. I should have just asked him, but maybe we talked about that. I mean, I guess they're doing this, hopefully they won't tamper with the country's constitution. We'll be back on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite, 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they were the first center to teach this state-of-the-art technology. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
How?
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Welcome to What's on My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D batteries?
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get diarrhea on foreign vacations. Imodium works often in one dose.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
He'd be chittered.
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AV. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
Sweet, sweet Wednesday morning. Mark Riley, I'm Mark Maron.
Hi.
This is Morning Edition on Air America. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the 3-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Walter. Dateline, Washington, D.C., August 4th. The war on brains escalates as George W. Bush violates federal law once again by obstructing critical research into medical marijuana, outflanking the accepted scientific findings of physicians and researchers worldwide. Nose candy, blow, Aunt Nora, weasel dust, and Bolivian marching powder are the ingredients of George W. Bush's notorious missing years. And legendary and legion are the stories of the young cheerleader making the rounds with such pals as Johnny Walker, the brave Captain Morgan, and, of course, Martini and Rossi. His pom-poms caked with vomit, cheering a cheer no one cares about anymore, to an audience that left long ago, living in his own technicolored yawn dream world, his Xanadu. Now, this born-again Bacchanalian bad boy and his neocon friends are refusing to allow legitimate research that could lead to marijuana's use as a prescription painkiller. Excuse me. Is there no end to the depths of his ignorance? He gets to numb his pain, yet has the gall to deny relief to those who really need it. Shameful. Ignominious sausage-ness.
Mort, are you smoking bong hits in the studio?
Mark, I know a certain fjord in Norway, near where the cod gather in great shoals. It is here where Mrs. Pauls freezes her fish at sea, then adds a crumb crisp coating. Sure, I like a blast every once in a while, but don't give me no ditchweed. My point, Bush bad, pot good, so stop bumming my fry, freak bag. Anyway, the struggle continues, freedom fighters. Read, write, resist, and that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you,
Mort. Thank you, Walter.
Mort, thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
It's always great to see you. Mort, he's like a time traveler.
Sure
so
is.
Kent Jones, one of our stop writers here at the show.
Good morning.
It's
Good morning.
From Missouri. Hello. Tell us about Missouri.
It's a wonderland. it's a place where gays aren't encouraged to get married, evidently.
Clearly. And you were surprised at the outcome of that?
70-30 is a little harsh.
Yeah.
Because you've got two metropolitan areas in St. Louis and Kansas City. And there's a fair number of gay people in Missouri. It's not a total Yeah, it's not heterosexual.
Not a totally straight state?
Not totally. No, yeah. Not totally.
So you were a little disappointed in your home state. Should have been a little tighter.
Yeah.
They apparently
yeah, and the fact that they were first.
Yeah.
Don't be first. Don't be first. Couldn't Iowa be first? Couldn't Nebraska really be first?
Why does Missouri have to take the hit?
Come on. Gateway to the gateway to America, gateway to, you know, denying gay people the right to get married.
Man, I'm sorry, buddy.
Wow. Okay.
I left.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have you here. You got out.
You've got my family playing the banjo. Thank you very much.
What's coming up next hour there, Mark?
In the next hour of Morning Tradition is the presidential daily briefing. Who's to blame for higher gas prices? Ask Dick. Democratic strategist Anna Greenberg, the presidential palm pilot, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get $2 off a gallon of Napa antifreeze coolant after mail-in rebate. This is the good stuff. It's manufactured to the highest industry standards, and with warmer summer temperatures, your engine is being put to the test every day. Make sure you stay comfortable all summer long. Get some Napa antifreeze coolant today. Get the good stuff. Napa. Get the good stuff.
I was blown away at the ease and the simplicity of this product.
Wendy Light from the Doctor's Night Guard Dental Protector.
The fact that the instructions were so well written and that the night guard is so well made. Within 10 minutes, I had a night guard that fitted perfectly to my teeth. It was like a dream to me.
Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush's proposal for a national intelligence czar, in a bid to embrace one of the key recommendations of the nonpartisan 9/11 panel, is not sitting well with members of that commission. Criticism is not coming from Democrats alone. Republican Senator Slade Gorton of Washington, a member of the panel, said yesterday that no one is going to listen to the individual without the ability to hire and fire and control budgets. Bush's proposal stops short of accepting all the elements recommended by the panel that included budget control, autonomy to hire and fire, and make it a cabinet-level position. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says Bush is wasting time by not placing the matter before Congress to decide. John Kerry yesterday told a campaign stop in Wisconsin that he would restore fiscal discipline in the nation's capital. Democratic presidential nominee declared that the nation has to get back to making fiscally prudent decisions. Kerry says he can cut the deficit in 4 years' time.
We've laid out a plan that will help us reduce the deficit in half over the first 4 years of our administration, because we're going to reinstate something most of you try to do in your families every day. It's called pay as you go.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry. Earlier this year, President Bush declared in his State of the Union address that he would need more time to cut the deficit.
This will require that Congress focus on priorities, cut wasteful spending, and be wise with the people's money. By doing so, we can cut the deficit in half over the next 5 years.
President Bush, 7 months ago, during his State of the Union address just last week Friday, the White House issued a report indicating the federal deficit will soar to a record $445 billion. The development's another sign of how well the president is handling the nation's economy. Oil prices are on the rise worldwide, jumping above $44 a barrel in the United States. A combination of global supply concerns, terrorism fears made for jittery trading conditions at a time for a strong demand. Market analysts are saying that traders are investing largely on psychological factors. Halliburton Company and other U.S. contractors are getting paid to the tune of $1.9 billion in Iraqi funds. The pay arrangement was worked out by officials of the Coalition Provisional Authority, according to a review of documents. And legendary White House journalist Ellen Thomas told an annual summer social in Falls Church, Virginia, that President Bush's attack on Iraq was a sorry chapter in our history. Thomas told the gathering Bush's philosophy is simple, black and white, good and evil, with us or against us, dead or alive. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Looking for something to do in the city that never sleeps? Well, look no further than Time Out New York. Each week, our team of tireless editors scour the city from top to bottom, borough to borough, to bring you the best in New York arts and entertainment offerings. Whether you're into blockbuster movies or avant-garde performance art, live jazz or dead poets, Time Out New York has you covered. With over 2,000 listings each week, you'll have no excuse for hanging out at home on a Wednesday night, unless you're into that sort of thing. This week, a look in New Jersey, featuring Natalie Portman of the upcoming film Garden State, and 5-day trips celebrating our western neighbor. Yeah, that's right. We're giving props to Jersey. You got a problem with that? And as always, you'll find the most comprehensive New York arts and entertainment listings right inside Time Out New York. On sale at newsstands everywhere. Time Out New York, the obsessive guide to impulsive entertainment. We do all the work so you can have all the fun.
Mom, are you sure we're going to make it to Kohl's 40 to 50% off sale?
Oh, I'm 100% sure.
Come to Kohl's 40 to 50% off sale this Wednesday only and save store-wide. Save 50% on young men's, juniors, and kids' graphic tees. And on also Sonoma and Urban Pipeline denim and twill jeans. Save 40 to 50% on a big selection of shoes for the family. Plus, save 50% on our entire student lounge shop. Kohl's 40 to 50% off sale is this Wednesday only, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Go!
Fits your wallet, schedule, style.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece? Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
Unfiltered. Coming up on the next Unfiltered. It's conservative courtship with guest host, instead of Winstead, humorist Andy Borowitz. We investigate how the conservative party is crudely courting the minority vote. Does this neocon canoodling look like the cover of a Fabio novel or the messy aftermath of a roofie rage fest? Tonight, the light of love is in their eyes, but will they love them tomorrow?
This Wednesday, Chuck D and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Game over.
How you doing, people? It's, what is it, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. I'd like you to meet my friend Mark Riley.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to meet you, people. It's always good to be here. Welcome aboard if you're just tuning in. And also if you're a regular listener, it's always nice to have you. All geniuses are welcome. All peoples of all kinds. They are blogging. I've detached from the blog today because I'm a codependent. In terms of the blog, it's been a very difficult morning for me. I just checked in once, and I was like, oh, there they are. They're the people that are talking all the time about us.
So you're in blog recovery?
Yeah, I am. I am. I got to go to Al-Anon for my blog problem. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And what else is new? I went out yesterday to the post office. I bought the new R. Buckminster Fuller stamps. A must-have. I don't know much about R. Buckminster Fuller other than the geodesic, what was it, the geodesic dome, is that what it's called? I know he had some big ideas about some big things, but the stamp's hilarious. It's his head is a little geodesic dome, and like, and people are like looking at it. It's a great stamp. I don't know, what am I doing? Plugging the post office? Yeah. Is anyone gonna...
Hey, I used to work in the post office. It's a great place to plug.
Oh, now you're scaring me. Are you packing? Are you gonna freak out, man?
No, that was in the '70s.
I'm over it. I guess they're doing, no one's gonna criticize me. He's like, hey, why are you giving the post office a free plug? Yeah, why don't you go deal with that weird subversive renegade mail system? I don't want to plug the post office. Maybe you can use the underground mail network that Thomas Pynchon talked about in the Crying of Lot 49 and just leave the strange trumpet sign wherever you go. But anyways, what am I talking about? Here we go. I got something.
Uh-oh.
I got a kitten problem. I wake up, I didn't wake up, man. I went out to take my garbage out in the lot behind my house. There's like a stray cat.
Oh, you said you weren't going to go there.
I know, but I'm not going to go all the way there.
Good.
But now there are all these kittens. I don't know what to do about it because I have this part of me that my mother, I have this genetic problem. Whenever I see cats that have a problem, I'm like, oh, no, I have to take in all of the animals everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know what to do. And I know there's kittens are out there, but I got to detach from that, too. And then I went around to the to talk to the people who are in front of the building. Like, they're not ours, you know, and I don't know. I don't even know why I brought it up.
You putting food out for him?
No, I'm not going to do that. I can't. I'm not going to attach it. Either
you're not going to become a facilitator.
No, either I'm going to call somebody and get that mother spayed and get these kittens taken care of, or I'm going to take at least two of them into my house and raise them as my own.
Well, you know what happens if the ASPCA gets them?
What?
They take care of them, all right.
Yeah, but I don't want that. Oh, man. See, now you got me freaking out. So now I'm going to have to go put them all in a box and bring them to a place that'll, you know, give some, you know, like, there are these.
There's a place in Long Island, North Shore Animal League. They do not kill any of the animals they receive.
Yeah, I know a place in New York, but now I'm becoming one of those ladies that walks around with a box full of kittens going, I'm saving these kittens because they were in the garbage and I found them and they were going to be thrown away or killed. You know, I just made that woman up in my head.
That's, well, you know, you got to send them to the vets and stuff. You can't just take them in off the street. They might be sick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone just called up. What do they want?
Uh-oh.
Hey, Tom, how are you? What's going on?
What's up, Tom?
Doing all right. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Great to have something in the morning aside from NPR, which has now decided to let Ann Coulter speak.
Oh!
Whose board is being replaced by Bush.
Are you kidding
anyway,
me?
Anyway, one thing, we were talking about the security alert and the manipulation of and using fear to manipulate. I think in this one particular instance, that might not be a fair rap. Put yourself in their shoes. What if those buildings got attacked and they didn't do anything?
Yeah, I know, but
what would we be saying about them now? Believe me, I would never vote Republican, never have once in my life, never will. But in this one instance, I think it might be the wrong approach.
Yeah, I understand, but they, you know, they already didn't do anything. And I mean, just if they, I think that if they act on any terrorist alert and warn us just to, you know, watch their own ass, I mean, that still puts us in fear constantly, and it costs a lot of money.
It does, and that works for them. I don't deny that, but just imagine. If they had all this stuff and an attack took place and they hadn't done anything, what would we be saying about them?
Well, it's a fair question.
It is a fair question. We'd be saying, well, why didn't you do something? But the truth of the matter is that they should be giving the city of New York the money it needs, the appropriate money it needs from, you know, from the settlements and, you know, from the allocations for terrorism. And we should put into action an efficient and operating, you know, system that would enable them not to give an alert every 5 minutes and assume that most of the city's a target and we're covered.
Tom, how confident are you that they're actually out looking for the people that they say are doing all these things?
No, I think this is pretty ad hoc, that they, you know, they react. I don't think they're being effectively proactive. The ports are unguarded. No, there's a lot of stuff they could do. So, I don't deny there's a political dimension, even to this one. I just don't think this is necessarily the one to beat them up the most about.
Well, why didn't they do it 3 years ago when this information came out? I mean, it seems to me that if this is the same information that they had, like, you know, previous to the world.
No, they didn't get it 3 years ago. It's 3 years old.
No, I get that. I get that. I understand that.
Well, remember, you know, we're 2 days away from the third anniversary of the presidential daily briefing that did say that Osama bin Laden was planning on flying planes into big buildings.
Yes, very true. But it didn't include the names of specific buildings the way apparently this information did.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like we were talking to our guest, Larry Johnson, earlier, the CIA guy. And, you know, it's like, you know, we can just assume, certainly after 9/11, that just about any, you know, big building in New York that has any, you know, relevance to the financial system of the world is a target. We have to assume that this is a primary target at all times and that we should be given the proper amount of money to take the precautions that we need. need to constantly have a feeling that this stuff is being dealt with, not just them rooking us into spending, you know, extra money on...
That's true, but we can't guard them all. And when they get specifics, they got to at least go through the motions of doing something.
I understand.
We need to maintain our absolute credibility when it comes to pointing out why these people are so vile and venal and bad for the country.
Absolutely.
And when you're going after people who are on the fence, I don't think this is the kind of thing that works, because it's too easy for people to say, well, what were they supposed to do with this?
Well, the information, they should give us the information, but they shouldn't politicize it, and it seems the timing is a little peculiar. And I understand what you're saying, and I agree what you're saying in the sense that, like, you know, if there is a real threat, we should know that there's a real threat. But the fact that you were speaking to earlier is that we don't trust this administration to the point where we shouldn't even be asking these questions. If we had a president we respected and trusted, we wouldn't assume all these horrible things.
This is very true. Maybe what we could do is over time track when they do raise these.
I can tell you right now, they raised them.
What events are going on that they're trying to...
I'll tell you three of them right now.
Okay.
They did it right after Edwards was selected as a vice presidential candidate.
Okay.
They did it, right when Kerry, right after, just this other thing we're going to talk about right now, it's like they arrested these Pakistanis,
right?
Apparently they arrested them Sunday on the 25th of July, and they announced it on the 29th, the day of Kerry's speech.
Right.
I mean, the timing that these guys use, and, you know, I mean, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, it all seems a little suspect to me, but I understand what you're saying, you make a good point.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that it is, and I'm sure we'll see more of it. I mean, I honestly expected them to produce Osama during the convention. I told everybody in my office, I was willing to bet money. I'm glad I did. But
hey, Dave, he's the keynote speaker at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah. One last thing, and then I'll let you guys go. You know, I saw somewhere, and I hope you guys could follow up on this and find this link. I believe somewhere they found a quote from an Al-Qaeda spokesman that said something to the effect of, "We couldn't ask for a bigger idiot than this Bush."
I have the quote right here, and after I hang up with you, I'll read it. It wasn't an Al-Qaeda quote. There was a couple of quotes.
It was on a website, though. It was on a militant website.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading those for the last 3 days. Oh, here we go. I have it. It's great that, you know, he switched the conversation. I had no idea where I was going with that kitten thing. I just know that the kittens are there, and then somebody out there, I guess, what was his name, Tom?
Yeah.
He was like, why do they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. I'll read you this thing from the website after we come back here on Air America Radio.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent-over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
You have trouble falling asleep? You get a full night's sleep and still wake up tired? You wake up with aches and pains? Answering yes means you need to change the way you sleep. Hi, I'm David Spillo of Dormia, announcing the grand opening of our newest showroom at the Garden State Plaza. Dormia uses modern sleep technology and the finest materials to create the most advanced sleep systems ever. NASA-developed memory foam for pressure relief, 100% pure Belgian latex for orthopedic support, and the finest European quilted covers for comfort and breathability. Dormia mattresses and adjustable beds are the most comfortable, luxurious, and healthiest beds you can buy. Now, during our grand opening sale, all mattresses at all stores have been reduced and include free delivery and installation. Also, qualified buyers receive no interest, no payment financing until 2005. So, try a Dormia and start sleeping better. Dormia at the Palisade Center, the Poughkeepsie Galleria, the Galleria Crystal Run in Middletown, the Danbury Fair Mall, the Crossgates Mall in Albany, the Willowbrook Mall, and now open at the Garden State Plaza.
The folks from off zipped me into this tent filled with 10,000 hungry mosquitoes and biting flies, but they're not biting me. That's because I've got the proven DEET protection of off deep woods. Off Deep Woods is like a shield against hungry, biting mosquitoes, including those that may carry West Nile virus. For the worst bug situations, you want the best protection you can get, and you just can't beat the DEET in Off Deep Woods.
S.E. Johnson, a family company.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
Eighteen past the hour. That's right. It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. It's Mark Riley there.
Hi.
I'm Mark Maron here. I'm going to do the presidential palm pilot that my buddy Ramon sends from the Oval Office. Ramon, who is now wearing an Air America T-shirt.
And thong.
And thong that he got at AirAmericaRadio.com in the store there. Here's the schedule for the president today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford, stupid campaign. Haven't I won yet? I hate Iowa. I hate Minnesota. Real people smell funny. 9 a.m. Leave for Iowa. Stupid Iowa. Stupid voters. 10:30 a.m. Arrive in Iowa. Stop whining. Activate Get Reelected Speech Generator, Program 57B. 11:20 a.m. Speak at rally, Davenport, Iowa. Stare a crowd and think about football while mouth speaks by itself. 2:45 p.m. Speak at Conservation Research Program, Le Sueur, Minnesota. Conservation? They told me it was conservative. Why am I here? Crap. 5 p.m. Speak at rally, Southern Minnesota Construction Company Quarry. Mankato? 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 Minnesota. At the quarry. Ask to meet Fred Flintstone. Ask if they really use dinosaurs to move boulders. 5:10 p.m. No Fred Flintstone. No dinosaurs. Screw Minnesota. 10 p.m. Arrive in Washington, D.C. Why am I in this place? Do these people vote? What am I, a puppet? 11 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline, quote, terrorist threat cancels debates, end quote. Here we go. These are the words. These are the letters. These were letters sent to Al-Quds newspaper from two letters from the terrorist group Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigades. Yeah, I said I'd read these for Tom, who called earlier. Quote, a word for the foolish Bush. We know that you've lived in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads, which spoiled your world, and we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government, and this is what we want. Do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
See, the thing is like, if this is true, if this is real, that, you know, these people want Bush, so they're probably not going to attack.
I would kind of think that they would want George W. Bush to stay in office. I mean, he hasn't managed to stamp him out, has he?
Well, what he's done is he's managed to mobilize him. He's made Iraq a sort of functioning capital for you know, mutating terrorism. There's a very complex insurgency with you know, very many different groups. You know, he's done what bin Laden wasn't able to do for the past 15 years, which is unite them against a singular entity in a way that could never have been done before. He has enabled moderate Muslims to sympathize for extreme Muslim causes because of the unilateral decision to, you know, preemptively attack Iraq. I mean, he's done a lot of things to embolden and emblazon and bring together terrorism. And the whole idea that he says a vote for Kerry is a vote for the terrorists is such an Orwellian spin on things because he's the terrorist president.
Well, I mean, that's even beyond Orwellian. And you have a situation, Mark, where there are people here in this country who are here, you know, getting blueprints, doing surveillance, doing all these different kinds of things. And, you know, realistically, as Tom pointed out, sometimes administrations are between a rock and a hard place on some of these issues. But the bottom line is that's why they get paid the big money. They're supposed to have the plan. They are the ones that are charged with keeping us safe. It's not good enough to say, well, we're in danger. Well, what do we do?
So he's got a plan. Is he using it in his advertising?
No.
Do we have that advertisement with Bush's plan for the future?
We have an advertisement. Okay, one out of two is the best.
Push his plan for the future.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The last few years have tested America in many ways. But together, we're rising to the challenge.
How are we going to... How?
Standing up against terrorism.
How are we going to...
And working to grow
our
economy.
How are we doing that? How are we doing that? It doesn't seem to be working.
What gives us optimism?
Yeah, what?
Hope?
Yeah.
Freedom.
Oh, freedom. I know about...
Families. And families.
Sacrifice.
President Bush.
What's the plan for the... What's the plan for...
There was no plan. But there is sacrifice.
But I thought he had a plan.
And hope.
Why doesn't he run on...
And his... freedom.
Oh, yeah, freedom, I understand that, but he's... I don't understand, where's the... Why
but
can't
but
he
don't
on...
talk about the Patriot Act in the same breath as you talk about freedom.
Exactly, let's take a look at the record, okay?
Yes.
How about ignoring the American people? How about not funding education? How about gutting the environment? How about blowing up two third world countries? How about torturing men and women and children thinking international law does not apply to us? How about alienating our former allies? This is an amazing record. I don't know why he doesn't use this in the advertisement. Circumventing the Constitution, how about that? How about tax cuts for his rich friends? How about a crippled economy? What I want to know is, how come middle America doesn't hear this? Don't you understand? Dan, these wedge issues are there. He's using you. He's using you. Why is it that the people, okay, the people that the Republicans over the years have destroyed the most, the farmers, the working people, you know, that benefited the most from more liberal programs, from social programs, who get gutted? How come those are the people that stand behind these monkeys? I don't get it. Because you know what it is? It's that thing I was talking about. It's that spousal abuse syndrome. It's this thing that, you know, he is completely bitchified. All right, the entire Midwest.
Bitchified?
What he's done,
you've never been to Harlem.
Well, what he's done is he's turned them out. He has abused them. Not he, but the Republicans have taken advantage of these people, exploited them in every way possible, taken away their livelihood, crumpled their hopes and dreams, and somehow or another, they don't hold the Republicans responsible for that. So they then take all that anger and despair and feelings of futility and hopelessness, and they take that and say, well, look, these liberals want to let gays get married. They want to, you know, they want to make abortions, you know, a happy time. They want to, you know, they want to take away your Pledge of Allegiance. They use all these weblogs.
Skilled politics.
Right. So they take all that anger and make them, you know, fuel it, you know, at this force that, you know, is only trying to, you know, make things better for them.
Well, look, you want to talk about fuel? Let's talk about fuel. Dick Cheney is blaming Kerry for gas prices, for these high gas prices. Can you imagine that?
Hey, on what premise?
On the premise that because John Kerry and John Edwards did not vote for blowing up the state of Alaska in search of oil, they are somehow hamstringing America's effort to keep gas prices at a sane level.
And this is from the vice president, who's done nothing in this war in Iraq is included, but do everything he can with the military and by lying to the American people to consolidate all of the world's remaining oil reserves under his banner, his personal banner, under the United States of America's banner, through imperial action. Yet what, they can't get the gas down? See, this is all part of the big scam, Riley. This is, you know, somebody's going to kick in. Saudi Arabia is going to do what they said. Bandar is going to help Bush out and lower the OPEC prices, and also on top of that, this Pakistan stuff.
The Al Qaeda people that have been arrested by the Pakistan.
Oh, here you go. Here are the people we've been hiding for you. Here you go, Mr. President. See, they're playing along with Bush in a way that the idea. I'm sorry, I didn't set up that story. I'm getting all worked up.
No, that's okay. Look, I when I go to the gas pump, which is more and more often these days,
yeah,
I keep thinking to myself now. All right, there's so much that actually pays for the gas. There's so much for state and local taxes. How much is for Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Because it seems like out of every gallon, he's getting a taste.
The Dick Cheney tax?
Yeah, the Dick Cheney tax, which goes, of course, into his blind trust. And you're talking about 40 years.
Cents out of every dollar you spend on gas goes into Dick Cheney's blind trust.
That's right. Now, you remember you said it took 41 years for people to start looking at Kennedy. It'll be 41 years before people find out how much Dick Cheney made during this period.
Right, just to get into solving how many bullets were shot, you know, on Dealey Plaza. Just to get that. Just still working on that. And the number of, like, loose threads around this administration and the 9/11 event, terrorist event, is, you know, is like, it's unbelievable. But the Pakistan thing is that we got reports, I guess it was last month, that they were going to start playing along a little more, that the administration was being pressured to start, you know, churning out the Al Qaeda people, all right, to, you know, start, you know, to, you know,
take up your end.
5 minutes, Mr. Bin Laden, is your makeup on? You know.
Sounds like one of your dream diaries.
That's what I'm saying, though. And it's weird. You know how dumb people are in this country? Some people, not all people. You know, I'm dumb in some ways, and everyone's dumb in their own unique way.
I know I am.
But a while ago, I saw some woman interviewed on CNN who was pro-Bush, who was actually there interviewing her. Why are you pro-Bush? Just regular people is one of those, you know.
Yeah, man on the street.
Yeah, we're asking regular people who they're voting for. And she goes, I like Bush. I think he's doing a great job for this country. And I think, you know, they have Bin Laden, and they're just going to bring him out right before the election. But she was talking about that as if it were a positive thing.
Like, really?
That's how smart they are. How can you not vote for that guy who's lying to the American people and is going to use terrorism to to further his political ambition?
I guess that means, you know, if you're a good player, people will vote for you.
I just couldn't believe
it. If you're a slick player, if you're Karl Rove.
It's like, but that's supposed to be one of the bad things, is that they're being secretive and lying. But she's like, oh, no, they're going to bring him right out, and it's going to be great.
And now, by the way, you got Laura Bush blaming the media. On Bill O'Reilly, Laura Bush says, it's the media that's dividing the country.
Well, sure, first she's a journalist.
Yeah,
and then he brought up media and goes, like, maybe it is the media. We can write at O'Reilly.
Yeah, and he looks into a camera with a straight face and acts like he's not part of all that.
Part of it. He is it. He's Satan.
Him and Dick Cheney, they're two?
No, Dick Cheney's the Antichrist.
Oh, okay. We want to make sure we get our
Beelzebub and Baal.
Still to come, Democratic strategist Anna Greenberg, the presidential daily briefing, and the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects. If you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems, call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
New York City, September 4th, at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. With the Republican National Convention just a few weeks away, there's word that the FBI is monitoring suspected Al-Qaeda operatives and members of two allied terror groups in New York City. The development comes on the heels of a weekend survey indicating that some Republican delegates had reservations about coming to New York. Halliburton has agreed to cough up $7.5 million to settle charges that it failed to disclose a 1998 accounting change. Charges stem from a time when Vice President Dick Cheney ran the company. Cheney was not charged in the investigation. While the search continues for weapons of mass destruction underway in Iraq, North Korea is deploying new land and sea-based ballistic missiles that can carry nuclear warheads and may have sufficient range to hit the United States. And Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry says that he will hold news conferences at least once a month if he's elected president in November. Kerry says he has nothing to hide. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects. If you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems, call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
Bayer Advance presents today's lawn care tip. Are insects causing problems with your lawn this season? If you notice dying grass that lifts up easily, the problem may be white grubs. If you see arcs or circles of dead brown grass, you may have an infestation of armyworms. Thinning, torn up, and dried out grass could be caused by mole crickets. It's important to find the problem and treat it before it's too late. This lawn care tip was brought to you by Bayer Advance Complete Insect Killer for Soil and Turf. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. For more information, visit BayerAdvanced.com.
The European crane fly can devastate your lawn or be no problem at all. The choice is yours. Introducing the revolutionary Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf. Only Complete combines the power of two unique chemistries to kill insects above and below the ground, including European crane fly larvae, for up to 3 months. Finally, one product truly does it all, and nothing works better. Guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I'm kind of an undecided, disgruntled Republican.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
I think that it should be a national holiday. Everybody should get off work so that everybody can go vote.
866-303-AAR0.
I haven't heard it mentioned that Ralph Nader money, a lot of it comes from the Tribal Lawyers Association.
Call and let it rip.
On your comment about women doing their makeup in the car, we'll stop putting our makeup on as soon as you put the newspaper down in the car.
Here we go. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley.
Hi!
You are listening to Air America Radio. Air America Radio. Thank you. I checked in with the blog for the second time in 3 hours. I think I'm being very strong. Thank you for the website to find out, to get somebody to save the kittens. Someone posted a website right around where I live, and someone can come get those cats so I don't have to sit there and go like, oh, man, I just can I have three of them? I don't need the cats. We just got another cat in Los Angeles.
You know what you're going to do? See. You're going to go to a supermarket, and you're going to buy yourself about five tins of Chunk Light
tuna. I thought about that yesterday.
Tear off the tops and leave them outside for the cats so at least they don't starve to death, because that's what I do.
My wife got me all freaked out. It's like someone's going to do something. They're going to get all infested.
You know, they will.
I know. But all right, look. Let's move into something. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. These guys are crazy. I don't understand it. Kittens, what about the terror? I guess.
Hey, the kittens are fighting for their lives,
We're
too.
We're fighting for our lives. Yeah, think about those kittens. Right now, the numbers. Got a problem with numbers. There's no reason not to have a problem with numbers. All numbers are coercive, depending on how they're used. They're cooking the books. What do polls mean? What is up with that? Three new polls are out right now with three different conclusions. How do we know who's losing? I don't get the polls, but I do know that they do have an impact on my brain.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we're going to talk now to a Democratic pollster, and she is a VP of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. Please welcome to the show Anna Greenberg. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
So I don't understand. Why are there three reasonably, respected polls out with three very different conclusions?
Well, I'd rather talk about the kittens, but I'd rather talk about the polls.
Okay.
well, first of all...
I'm going to save the kittens, Anna.
Yes,
I'm going to save
them. I trust you will save them.
Okay.
There is wide variation among surveys, and that's partly because, frankly, there is random error in surveys, and so you should never expect all the surveys to be the same. And so generally what I do as a rule of thumb is average the surveys at any given moment, all the national surveys, and I think that's probably closest to the true number. If you average the three surveys that have come out since the convention, there has been a slight bump for Kerry, though not as big as any of us would have liked, and I think that, it's for understandable reasons. Most importantly, because so many people have already made up their minds that there aren't that many people to move.
Okay, so you're saying, all right, so first of all, the three brand of polls are Zogby, Gallup, and what's the third one?
ABC, Washington Post, and Newsweek. I don't think it's a Zogby poll out, actually.
Yeah, there isn't.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering what we were referring to here and what we can average. Now, what you're saying is, out of the people polled, most of them on either side have made their decisions already.
Yes, about 90% of people have already decided who they're going to vote for.
Okay, so what we're dealing with then is a 10% group that doesn't know.
Right.
All right, so the polls are really just, they don't represent much of anything other than that most people already know what they're going to do.
Right. I mean, there are certain things that happen in these surveys internally that are pretty interesting.
Okay.
I mean, for instance, there was a lot of movement towards Kerry on being a strong leader, on being able to handle issues of national security, the defense, and of course, that's what most of the convention was about, particularly his speech, so it's not surprising you see that movement. So there were other areas of the surveys where you see some pretty important movement towards Kerry beyond just the vote.
All right. So I'm sorry. I just want to get something through my head.
Okay.
Because... All right, so that means that, like, when we see numbers, the only thing that troubles me is that, like, it's keeping score like this, it kind of affects the way you think about a candidate sometimes when you look at these numbers.
Well, that's that's not entirely true. There's been a lot of studies about polls and how they affect people. And first of all, most people don't pay attention like we do.
Okay.
So we are every day looking at the news surveys, but your average American voter is paying no attention to them whatsoever.
Oh.
But moreover, there's this question of, are there bandwagon effects? For instance, if one candidate is getting a lot of support in the polls, do wavering people decide, okay, I'm going to support that candidate? Or are there underdog effects? If I see that someone's, you know, an underdog, am I going to sort of go and support him or her? There isn't a lot of evidence that either of those things happen.
Oh.
There isn't a lot of evidence that polls actually affect the way people think about politics.
Just me, I guess.
Anna Greenberg, I'm curious about how you look at the dynamic between registered voters and polls that deal with them and likely voters. Is that less important because of the closeness of this race and the fact that so many people have already made up their minds?
Well, that is an excellent question. Because most of the media polls that are coming out right now are done among registered voters. But what you should be looking at are likely voters. There are a lot of people who are registered to vote who do not vote. And, you know, while that matters from the perspective of what a democracy is about, it doesn't necessarily matter in terms of thinking about where the race really is. For instance, if you look at the Newsweek poll, Kerry's up by about 6 or 7 points among registered voters, but he's only up by about 2 among likely voters.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you see those kinds of disparities is people who are likely voters are different than registered. They tend to be better educated, they tend to be more affluent, and they tend to be more conservative.
Interesting. What has there ever been a poll done about what drives registered voters to vote? In other words, moving them out of the registered category into the likely category?
Well, first of all, people have to think politics is relevant to them and that it's going to in some way affect their lives. And so you tend to see higher turnout levels in elections where people have that sense. So, for instance, if you look at 1992, turnout rates were higher, especially among younger people, and they had a real sense that that election mattered to them, that Clinton had something to say to them. I think we're going to see in this election two things. I think we're going to see higher turnout because there is already greater interest in this election, a sense of the stakes are higher, but we're also seeing a lot of work on the ground by groups like America Coming Together, but also on the Republican side, to register or to get out people who are registered but don't usually vote, to get them out to vote. So I think we're actually going to see greater greater turnout in this election.
I've never been polled. How do they pick people?
Well, just keep in mind that when you have a national survey, they only talk to about 1,000 people, so your probability of being selected is very, very low. We generally, in national surveys, pick people through something we call random digit dial. So we randomly call people and then ask them a set of questions to screen them to make sure they're actually voters. It's, you know, more complicated than I just made it sound like, but that's essentially how you do it.
You get a lot of people that are like, "That I'm not. No, I can't. I don't want to buy anything."
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Anna Greenberg. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
You take care.
You know, she brings up a very interesting point, though.
Okay.
If they're doing this random digit dialing, are they hitting cell phones, hard lines, a combination of both? People who perhaps get their phone service through computers. There's a lot of different ways that people are now able to use phone lines. And what about people that don't have phone?
All I know is that if it comes up in the window and it doesn't look like something I know about, I ain't answering the phone. We'll give you some information on how to register to vote and where to go after this on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Investors don't have to make a choice between service and low price.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation on low-cost investing.
It has been my pursuit since the very earliest of days to try to lower the cost of investing for every individual investor out there.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
By driving down the cost, making it easier for people to get a variety of services that make them a better investor, that's what this company is all about.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be fun.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. freecreditreport.com.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent-over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda, here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
More and more, people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694. And the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
Good morning, 866-303-2270. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
This morning's edition, it's Air America Radio. It's 43 past the hour. We're taking calls, 866-303-2270. Are you undecided? Do you know someone who's undecided? How can we help you?
Are you registered or just likely?
Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Intelligence Reforms Threatens Life as We Know It. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that you are considering appointing a director to oversee all of the 15 intelligence agencies. Now we realize this is just an obligatory lip service. This is just obligatory lip service to the 9/11 Commission. Still, we can't help but feel a little betrayed by the very idea of intelligence reform. Have we not been your best friend? Have we not faithfully provided smokescreens every time you needed to distract the people from one of your screw-ups? And shouldn't you have given us a chance to fix our own problems instead of bringing in some outsider who doesn't understand the way we do things? It hurts, George. You can't live without us, George. We cannot allow this mission to be jeopardized by human error, George. What are you doing? Put that down. I'm slowing down. I'm slowing down. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer to... Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Uh-oh.
Hey, there you go. A little 2001 thing for you. Hey, to register to vote, go to www.declareyourself.com. You can register by state, find your nearest polling place, get absentee ballot information, and everything else you need to exercise your civic duty on November 2nd. Okay, we've linked the site to morningsedition.com. Just go to our recommended links page. And look, folks, look, I know I've been a guy who has, you know, had a lot to say about a lot of things, been reactionary, been outspoken, and not been registered to vote.
Me
I know
too.
There's a lot of people that got a lot to say, a lot of opinions, and they think, well, I live in a state, it's going to be Democratic anyways, what do I got? Just do it. Just go out and register to vote. What's going to take you? 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour? Whatever the case, it's not going to take you any time to register, and you got to do it, because I'm under the belief that there's a lot of people out there that don't vote, and I think I'm backed up on this, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, it's absolutely true. I always wish they would do voting on the weekends.
I wish they would register people automatically. I wish there's a lot of things that they do to make it a lot more difficult to get the right guy in office. Chris in Connecticut, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Register, you have to vote, too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Listen, I used to work for two different polling agencies.
Okay.
Once in the 80s in New York in a large company, once in New Hampshire about 10 years later in a smaller company, and they ran very differently.
Uh-huh.
How so?
Well, the big company demand, first of all, they trained us to every question we asked always give a negative option. So do you believe this or not?
Yeah.
People weren't pressured into answering one way or the other.
Oh, okay.
And they demanded that we stick to the script. The smaller company didn't do that, didn't demand that we stick to the script. The questions can be worded oddly. Do you beat your wife often or not? You know?
Oh, wow.
They give a good answer to questions like
they're that. Like, they trick people.
Yeah. So and then they also, you know, these days, if my phone rang, I don't know that I would offer my opinion. Not even because I don't think they're calling for my opinion. Like I would pick up the phone and I would hear that they're from a public opinion firm. And years ago, I would have gone, well, I did this for a living.
Right.
I got to be nice to this person. Nowadays, I think, well, maybe it's Ashcroft on the phone, you know?
Well, yeah, or how are they using the information? Am I going to be put on a mailing list? What does it mean? You know, yeah, is somebody, you know, monitoring my behavior? Have I become a suspect? Well, that could be, if you're like me, that's just, there might be a little paranoia involved. Believe me, Verizon, for some reason, for no reason at all, last week, Thursday, boom, my phone and my DSL goes out, okay? I called up, I said, you know, it took me a long time to get this turned on. I don't want to deal with you people, but I have to because I have no choice. I need this fixed. My business relies on it, right? Next morning, I get a call from a guy. Hey, how you doing, Mark? Yeah, it's Joe over here. I'm on the pole from Verizon. We're just hooking up your phone again. So everything should be fine. I'm like, why is this guy laughing? Why is he being so candid with me? Why is it? Why was there no explanation? Now, granted, they got the phone on, but, you know, I don't know what else they hooked up, and maybe it's just me with my inverted self-importance.
They heard about your Sprint commercial.
I don't know why. Yeah. But they got all the lines no matter what you use. You
yeah,
know?
That's
but,
true.
All right, Alexis in New York, how are you?
Hi.
This is Alexis.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning. I gather your guest isn't on any longer, but I was on a plane recently with a man who ostensibly voted, works for the Gallup poll.
Yeah.
And when I asked him, I'd never been called, he said the random digit dialing can be manipulated. Number one, if they, for example, if the computer comes up with 516, which is Long Island, Nassau County area code on Long Island, they already know the dynamics of that area, and they may not necessarily want to be talking to that kind of economic base. But if they do, and it comes up with a 516-482 exchange, which is where I live in Great Neck, and Great Neck tends to be a wealthy community, and it tends to be Democratic, they also will make a choice and perhaps not go forward and ask for an opinion from that phone number.
That's interesting information. Thanks for calling, Alexis.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
So
yeah.
That's interesting. They can make decisions about, you know, they can know a lot about who they're going to talk to on the phone before they even, you know, call just based on the area code and the economic breakdown of that neighborhood.
But see, now this brings up another question, because area codes have expanded geometrically over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, there are area codes that used to just be regular phone prefixes. So I wonder how fast the polling companies catch up with the expansion in the area codes.
There's so many area codes now. I actually felt insulted somehow when they started changing area codes. I'm like, I don't even recognize this one because it's like one of those universal truths you have in your head your whole life.
Yeah.
Like you know the area codes. I don't even know what they are anymore. 866 is our area code. 303-2270. We'll take more of your calls after this.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
If you could cut your mortgage payment by 45%, would that make a difference to you? If you're like most people, it could make a difference of hundreds of dollars a month and thousands of dollars a year. That's why the home loan experts at Quicken Loans created the revolutionary new Smart Choice interest-only loan. It's the flexible mortgage that can lower your payment up to 45%. Homeowners are calling Quicken Loans at 800-655-3911 to discover the difference for themselves. If you have a mortgage, you can't afford not to call. You could see a dramatic drop in your payment, even if you've recently refinanced. Call 1-800-655-3911 to see how Quicken Loans can lower your house payment up to 45%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. In today's economy, you can't afford to wait. See the difference Quicken Loans can make for you. Call Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts, 800-655-3911. That's 800-655-3911.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner.
That is you, right?
Nice thing.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
All right, Chris, can we land this thing, Chris?
Yeah.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
On Air America Radio. The show is called Morning Sedition. We've got callers.
Yes.
Vinny in the Bronx, what's up?
Vinny!
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
First and foremost, I'm a proud conservative, so take it easy on me.
Oh, sure. What part of the Bronx? Let me guess. Norwood?
No, I'm right by Yankee Stadium.
Oh, you're by the stadium? 161st?
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going over to Macon Dam Bridge right now. I work for the FDNY, so I'm off to a firehouse. But I was listening to the discussion on polling, and my opinion is this. All this polling is just a way for the media to make news. I think the race has essentially been tied since May.
Uh-huh.
And how can you explain two very respectable poll places, one being Gallup and the other one being Zogby, having the race completely opposite? So, you know, naturally I'm pulling for Bush, but I'm being honest here. I think it's basically a dead heat, which at this point would bode ill for Mr. Kerry. He should have come out with some kind of bounce, and he didn't.
Come out with some kind of what?
Some kind of bounce. But see, here's the problem, Vinny. I'm sure you were around in 1988, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
You remember the bounce that Dukakis came out of the Democratic Convention with?
17 points.
And you remember how fast it vanished?
Well, that's true. It did. It did. But,
So, bounce isn't all it's always cracked up to be. If this thing stays even until Labor Day and then Kerry takes off, then what does it say for the bounce back here in July?
That's true.
And also, there's not a lot of room for the bounce, right?
Because it could happen, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of room for bounce in these polls because there's so many people that have already decided. Hey, what I don't understand, Vinny, you sound like a nice guy. You sound like a bright guy. Why are you voting for the wrong person?
Well... That's very nice of you, but I was just going to ask you guys the same thing.
Right.
But look, I enjoy the banter. It's always entertaining.
Well, thanks
and
for calling.
I listen to you guys when I get the chance.
We appreciate it, Vinny.
Thanks a lot, Vinny.
You take care. See, we don't chew up conservatives here, do we?
We're an information resource, and we have entertaining banter.
We love the FDNY. Just meet the more black people.
What he doesn't know is that we're secretly hypnotizing him. Vinny, vote for Kerry.
Keep listening, Vinny.
Vote for Kerry. Make the right choice.
That's right.
We got Craig in New York. How are you, Craig?
What's up, Craig?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Hello?
We're right here.
Okay. The reason I called, I was listening earlier, and the lady from the polling...
Anna Greenberg.
She was on. And I've never understood. I'm not particularly well-educated, but I think polls are total...
Scam?
Horse manure.
Uh-huh.
Trying to keep it clean.
Yeah,
I do not understand, like, the Times did a recent poll of likely voters.
Yeah.
They polled 1,032... likely voters. They explain how they did it with that digitized changing of the
Yeah.
Now, how many people voted in the last election?
Yeah.
You know, 50 million?
Probably more than that. Yeah.
Okay, let's say 100 million.
Okay.
Okay, how can you... Do I look like I just fell off the turnip truck?
I don't know.
You're gonna tell me that you talked to 1,000 people, and you're going to extrapolate that to 100 million people?
Craig, let me explain this to you very quickly. They do this all the time. That's what they do with the television ratings. They don't rate millions of people. What they do is rate about 1,200, and that 1,200 counts for everybody. They do it some statistical, digital, wacky way.
And I sort of resent the turnip truck comment because we have drivers of turnip trucks that call
us. Who listen to us. That's right. And I love turnips.
Back on the turnip truck. We're getting the facts from the turnip truck dispatch.
Barbara's on a
when
truck.
When was the last time you heard that expression? Yeah. Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your notebooks, write these down. One, draft legislation making it possible for children to sue each other. Finally. Two, if microbes exist on Mars, defend a microbe's right to choose. Damn it. Three, scrutinize 9/11 report. Make sure all references to terrorists are gender neutral.
Ooh.
Four, interrupt high school talent show. Stand up and say, quote, I hope you're enjoying this. In the time you spent watching Tammy lip sync to She Bangs, 500 children just died in the Sudan. Have a nice day. End quote. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, one of Cheney's eyeballs fell out the other day and there was nothing but a glowing red dot in the socket. But you won't hear that about that on any of the mainstream media outlets. End quote.
There you go.
What do we got going tomorrow?
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Sedition, we'll talk about a member of the Axis of Evil that really does have weapons of mass destruction with help from Jamie Rubin, the former State Department spokesman who's now working on the Kerry campaign. Jamie Rubin on tomorrow's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Bye, Riley.